America, it is vital that you don't fall asleep on Israel's creep into the U.S. military. On July 14th, the Senate's cloture vote on the bloated $1.15 trillion NDAA for fiscal year 2027 collapsed 50-46, falling short of the 60 votes needed. Senate Majority Leader John Thune pulled a slick maneuver, though, flipping his vote to no just to file a motion to reconsider and keep this monstrosity on life support. Buried deep inside are the infamous provisions, Section 219 in the House, Section 1217 in the Senate, sections that Representative Thomas Massie has rightly branded as an unprecedented institutional merger, jamming Israeli technology straight into America's weapons systems, slashing congressional oversight, and locking foreign influence into our defense industrial base.
In the NDAA, Section 219, which is going to start commingling our military supply chains and technology with Israel's, doesn't make sense to do that with a country of 10 million people. But they've got that in the NDAA. I'm told that's not coming up this week, but we know it's going to come up sometime, probably sometime soon. And so I've offered an amendment to strip Section 219, it was called Section 224, from that bill.
While Democrats torpedoed the bill, mostly over Trump's Iran policy.
Now, the real danger to national security is this war that's out of control. It's this war that has alienated our allies. It's this war that has totally diminished American power and ability to defend ourselves in the world.
But the real Trojan horse, APAC's Uniparty, pulled one of the oldest tricks in the book, dangling a shiny carrot on a stick while they ram the dagger of surrender deeper into our sovereignty. In a razor-thin procedural vote, the House bundled the SAVE Act that includes the toxic Section 219 Israel military tech merger, forcing Americans to swallow the unprecedented fusion of our weapon systems, supply chains, and defense industrial base with a foreign power just to get basic election integrity. You aren't getting real voter ID without handing over control of America's military future to Tel Aviv. How in the hell is this national defense? The fusion of U.S. and Israeli military tech barely registered a whisper from the Mockingbird media. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, The New York Times, and the rest hammered the partisan gridlock angle nonstop, framing it as simple obstruction while burying the sovereignty-shredding details of this United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. Outlets that preach democracy and integrity treated Section 219 and 1217 like it was invisible.
Breaking news tonight. The major health scare across the country is lettuce making Americans sick.
Meanwhile, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is quietly hammering another nail into the coffin of American foreign policy independence. His Section 622 provision, now renamed 619, is still buried in the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2027. The provision is a straitjacket forcing future presidents to expand and enhance intelligence sharing across virtually every sensitive domain in the Middle East, with strict limits on any president's ability to pause, reduce, or restrict that flow unless they can prove a specific and identifiable national security concern. This stealth provision remains a quiet time bomb, waiting for leadership to push it through, likely buried in a larger package when the timing is right to strike. As of today, nothing has moved in the Senate. Thune's motion sits ready while horse trading drags on. But the House is barreling forward this week, with the Rules Committee deciding today on Massey's amendment to strip Section 219. Patriots are flooding the lines, but the bipartisan blob keeps pushing this deeper fusion anyway. This NDAA isn't about defending America first. It's about entrenching forever wars, drafting our children into a hell pit, scoring foreign leverage, and forever entanglement. This is no time to fall asleep. Contact your reps and demand they kill these provisions before our military independence and our sovereignty is sold off for good. John Bowne reports.
not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith. And we have a great show, as always, lined up for you, a show that you won't hear anywhere else. So let your friends know to tune in, share the live link, get in the chat, drop some comments in the chat, and support us any way you can. Speaking of which, make sure that you guys head on down to the Rundown Live, or excuse me, the Alex Jones store. Only 4 days left. Every dollar you spend at the Alex Jones store gets you 50 entries to win a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. This is the time to stock up on supplements, grab the new gear, and massively increase your chances to win. Anything you buy gets you entered. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com now. The deal ends Friday, July 24th at midnight. Not to mention, you're getting a free shirt if you spend more than $29.99. It's a mystery shirt. Who doesn't like a good surprise? We all like surprises. And there's probably a lot of cool swag there to get. So make sure that you guys are getting and taking advantage of the full new summer apparel available on the AlexJonesStore.com. For the first time ever, we're introducing a Hedderus Outdoor Performance button-up shirt. It looks stylish. It's lightweight, quick drying, and featuring a genuine embroidered 13-star Betsy Ross flag. Who doesn't need one of those? And I'm excited about this one. The brand new 1776 heavyweight shorts, premium heavyweight fleece, vintage black deep pockets, and our iconic embroidered 13-star design. These are built to last and only get better with wear. We've also got a brand new patriotic hats and limited edition summer tees that you're going to love. Summer won't last forever, and I can tell you that, being from Wisconsin, that winter creeps up quick. So you want to get into the store, pick up some of these great stylish gear, and, you know, represent. We're 100% funded by you guys. It's you guys that make this, make this program happen. And we've always been a show for the listener. Also, don't forget about the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture. Introducing the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture, one of the most advanced liquid turmeric formulas. This fast-absorbing liquid tincture is formulated with a premium turmeric root, standardized to 95% curcuminoids, the most powerful and extensively studied active compounds found in turmeric, which, by the way, is great for joints. I can tell you I use that stuff myself. Turmeric is wonderful for when you're getting old and you got those joints and, it kind of pads the cartilage between the joints. It helps with inflammation. I know as a person who struggled in the past with psoriasis, turmeric really helped with that aspect. Not only that, we've combined it with ginger root, and ginger is great as well, black pepper extract to help dramatically increase the absorption so your body can make the most of every serving. And that's the key, that you have those compounds mixed together to really propel the benefits of the supplement. Unlike ordinary turmeric supplements, this premium liquid formula is designed for superior absorption and maximum bioavailability. No fillers, no junk, just real ingredients that work together. With 60 full servings per bottle, Ultimate Turmeric Tincture is formulated to support healthy joints, mobility, antioxidant defenses, digestive health, and your body's healthy inflammatory response as part of a healthy lifestyle. And right now, when you subscribe, you'll get an incredible 50% off. That's half off. You can't beat that. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture today. Take control of your health, support this broadcast, and experience the difference the premium fast-absorbing turmeric can make. And it's important that you guys go and check out these supplements, because these supplements really help you propel your day. They help you start your day off, and they really make a big difference in how your day goes throughout, you know, every day of the week. And it's accumulative, right? You want to take it every day. Make sure you stock up on it. Buy a couple, and really, it really makes a big difference. You can get into that raffle if you do, and you get that free swag and t-shirt. We're really laying it on thick. I'm telling you, that's a lot of cool stuff you can get just by making a purchase at the alexjonesstore.com. That being said, today's broadcast is going to be very interesting, and I invited a close friend of mine, Katie Page, to join us on this broadcast. She was part of a very interesting program growing up. It was actually the biofeedback program, and it's linked to a whole bunch of different subcategories. Some people believe it was part of MK Ultra. Some people believe it was part of the GATE program. Some people believe it was part of some more interesting things like controlling things with your mind. And we're going to get into all of that and a whole bunch more right here in just a moment. But before we do, it's really interesting when we start talking about government secret operations. As you guys know, the MK Ultra hearings happened a couple weeks ago, and I joined Harrison Smith to talk about what we learned there. So make sure you go back and check out that episode if you haven't. But when we start looking at these subcategories and our government's interests, sometimes it's not really easy to connect the dots on how everything is being done, the people involved, whether it's Sidney Gottlieb and MK Ultra, Operation Midnight Climax, Artichoke, MK Naomi, all these government programs, which a lot of them sounded like the predecessor to Jeffrey Epstein, right? When you talk about Operation Midnight Climax. And then a lot of it has to deal with mind control and what you can control with your mind. So I want to go ahead and play this first clip. This first clip is actually, them working with small children in the biofeedback review. And it's really kind of weird that they go ahead and bring children on for this. But as we know, MK Ultra focused on and being predatory to children, because if they can get them at a young age, they're easy to program. Much like a computer, they can get some people to run many different programs, and sometimes they just want to check out if people have special abilities. Go ahead and roll the clip one here on the biofeedback review.
Well, this stuff comes directly from up the street at the University of Colorado Medical Center, where Tom Baczynski and Johann Stoivan are doing the work at the biofeedback laboratory there.
It's quite well known that people who suffer frequent or sustain stressful episodes eventually will show some sort of a physiological breakdown.
Keep that tension held in that muscle group. Keep focused on it. Okay, now begin slowly to relax the tension.
Preliminary relaxation training is often given to prepare the subject for biofeedback training sessions. Training in the relaxation of the frontalis or forehead muscle has produced promising results in the treatment of tension headaches.
What biofeedback does is it takes the individual from the nominal relaxed point down to a very low point. And of course, it does this by making the individual exquisitely aware of the functioning of his muscle systems.
So every so often,
shift your attention to that tone and make sure that you're keeping it at a low level. And that will ensure that your forearm is relaxed
as you begin this new training on your forehead muscle.
Here we have the output of the forehead EMG integrator. And those are the clicks that you're hearing. Here is the output of the forearm EMG integrator, and the tone is recording the feedback from this particular channel. So the tone will track the forearm, the clicks are tracking the forehead right now. We will train this individual, the one with tension headache, to this criteria of 3.0 microvolts average for 20 minutes. And when he can do this, and when he can do it without feedback, He's right. generally ready to
bring Katie on right away,
or even prevent them from happening in real life.
Katie Page is an author, investigator, and former Colorado state director for MUFON, which is also known as the Mutual UFO Network. There, they have the largest database of UFO data, where she served from 2020 to 2023. She's also worked on special assignment and star team investigator for MUFON. Page is widely known for her childhood ties to the Clearview Ranch, now Rocky Mountain Ranch in Colorado, a renowned hotspot for paranormal and UFO activity. She has frequently appeared on television programs exploring these types of topics, including the History Channel's Beyond Skinwalker Ranch, Travel Channel's UFO Witness and Ancient Aliens, and she recently has appeared in writer Lee's upcoming documentary, Psychic Agent, the Gate Program, which has temporarily been blocked by Amazon. We're trying to figure out what goes on there. Welcome to the broadcast, Katie Page. How are you doing today? And man, the biofeedback program, that's like the first time I heard about it, and I was watching all these videos last night preparing for this broadcast, and I guess let's start out with, like, how did you get involved in all of this? Because you've done a lot of work, you've done a lot of research into the biofeedback program, and you were involved as a child from the ages 10 and 11. You got brought into this program. What is this program? What's going on here? And it does have ties to Area 51, which is really interesting when we start talking about the person. What's his name? Thomas Budzinski. When I was looking it up, he was working on some interesting stuff over at Area 51, and this is all about controlling things with your mind. So let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, Kristen, thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, this is really, I was thinking just last night how this has come full circle for me. You know, it started out as this kind of family secret back in the mid to late 70s on a ranch in Colorado, in Elbert County, Colorado. Back in the day, the location wasn't known, so it was known as the Clearview Ranch through APRO, which is the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization. And for my older sister, my mom, and I, it was sort of like all these crazy things were going on, from the rash of animal mutilations to orbs and lights flying off the property and this, and we never knew anybody knew anything about it. So gosh, it's been over 15 years ago. I, you know, started getting into the paranormal things because I have my whole life lived with this hitchhiker phenomenon, which is, you know, paranormal kind of things following you around wherever you go. And I bought this book right here, Hunt for the Skinwalker by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher. And in this book, there's a chapter called Other Hotspots, and I started reading about the ranch from my childhood years, and I'm like, this has to be it. So I contacted Dr. Leo Sprinkle, and from there, it's just been this rabbit hole, as a lot of us go down. So as a co-host on UAP Studies podcast, we had a guest on, and he had mentioned to me the Gateway program and the Gateway tapes. And I thought, well, you know, I'll put on the headphones, start listening to the binaural beats and, you know, kind of astro travel. I've never had a problem doing that. And it was the third one in, Kristen, that I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like the biofeedback program I was put into during or right after the ranch years. And I still have the tapes from it, from those years right here.
Those are the tapes right
these
there.
Are the actual
those are the ones
tapes
that they gave
that were
you.
In my big tub of things that I kept from my childhood. And I saw in here Thomas H. Budzinski, PhD. And I thought, well, this is interesting. You know, who is Thomas H. Budzinski and what is this all about? So this, all of this information is relatively new for me, Kristen. I started researching Thomas H. Budzinski, and I learned he was a navigational engineer at Area 51 working on the SR-71 Blackbird. And I'm like, wait, navigational engineer out of Area 51? And now all of a sudden he's in Colorado. He worked with the Menninger Foundation, the Monroe Institute. So for a year and a half, I'm put in this program, what I thought was innocently to control my migraine headaches, which I started suffering really badly after one of the most kind of intense incidents on the ranch itself, with that disembodied electronic voice and all that stuff. And I kind of was paralyzed for a while, got the whole full-blown tunnel vision. I don't know if you've ever suffered migraines, but I would get the visual tunnel vision, you know, the really bad. So I'd miss school for a day. Was on all these different medications, and this, my mother worked for United Airlines as a computer operator in the Denver Tech Center. And a gentleman approaches my mom with a newspaper article and says, your daughter needs to be put into this biofeedback program, which, by the way, I sent you the map, Kristen. It's within walking distance from where my mother worked in the Denver Tech Center. And so I'd go into the office and sit in this brown leather chair. And, you know, they teach you to control your temperature in your hands to really soften your muscles in your face and your jaw, which, by the way, if you are headache sufferers, it really worked. I very rarely will get headaches anymore. But to learn that I think there was much more to this program than meets the eye, that's where it really gets interesting.
Well, what's interesting to me is this is about controlling things with your mind, right? And when I was watching some of these videos, which we have a couple more videos we can play here and kind of show people what's going on, but the first thing that comes to my mind is all these, like, urban legends and folklore tales that UFOs don't have controls, that people control them with their mind. So when I'm thinking biofeedback program and somebody has a link to Area 51, in part, I could believe that they were trying to figure out potentially how to fly some of these advanced aircraft or identifying someone that has the ability to control things with their mind. And they found that people could regulate their blood pressure. These are like real science studies, right? This isn't something I'm really making up. There's credible people involved. They've done tons of studies. How many people were involved in this biofeedback program?
You know, I am not sure about how many were put into the program, but when I started Googling and looking, thank you to ChatGPT and Grok and all that, because this information was so obscure and hard to find. I never would have made the connections without that. And so, you know, I come across this video on the history of biofeedback, and I hope you have the clip, but there's a little boy in there. And I remember every time I would go over to the office, there was nobody there. There was Dr. Budinsky's office, and then he had two extra little rooms, and I would always go into the one room with the brown leather chair, and I don't ever remember anybody else being in there, but this video is incredible right here. I was like, whoa, that's exactly what I did.
Well, and they wrap this kid's head up, and they're like, you're going to control the airplane. That's exactly what they say to him. And I'm like, well, okay, that goes back to my original hypothesis, is that potentially they could be looking for somebody that could control a, you know, UAP, if there was such a thing, because that's the urban legend. Like, we're talking a lot about things that we can't prove, but we hear that in the disclosure conversations, right, that these things are controlled without, actual steering wheels, that people control them with their mind. But I'm sure there's a lot of other uses. If you can control a spaceship with your mind or an airplane with your mind, what else could you do with your mind? And that goes into the MK Ultra programs, like the men who stare at goats, right? They were trying to get people to focus their energy and cause goats' hearts to explode. That's what the movie's about. It was based on a real MK Ultra program. Well, if they could use psychic energy or whatever they called it, maybe they didn't really understand it at the time, to explode a goat's heart, well, then you have almost like a psychic or silent assassin. And it's and so when we start tying these people together, when we have, let's see here, Thomas H. Budzinski, he's involved in a lot of things, isn't he?
He sure is, and that was a really, eye-opening revelation to make, and it goes much deeper. I mean, one of the questions, Kristen, I always had about the Rocky Mountain Ranch was how much of it is actual paranormal, unexplained UAP, activity, and how much of it is Black Access military projects. Through all the documents I've uncovered from back in the day, there's no doubt there's this very mysterious man named John Duke, and he claimed to be Air Defense Command from San Francisco and a psychologist and all these things. And he talked about taking legal LSD on the ranch. I'm like, legal LSD? There isn't anything unless it's in a special program, right? He talked about bringing vagrants to the property. There was a part in there where there was, his last name was redacted out, but it said Warren Blank visits the ranch from Camp Carson, felt something take over his mind, made him walk towards the woods, would release him, and he would walk back to the ranch house, and that did that to him 5 times. What is that about? I mean, all of these connections, and to learn about Budinsky and his connection, and then also I have come full circle with, you know, my sister, who is 6 years older, Chris, she was on the third episode of Beyond Skinwalker with me. But we were very affected differently from the ranch. Yes, she was older. She kind of moved away out of the state. She moved to Wyoming not too long after the ranch years. I call them the ranch years. But I really had the hitchhiker stuff a lot, and my sister didn't. And when I learned about Budinski and the training I went through, which is really they try to keep you into a theta state. So it's that really powerful place right before you doze off to sleep and like right before the twilight when you're waking up in the morning. You know, you're kind of you're aware you're awake, but you haven't fully, you know, face the day, and you kind of can still remember your dreams in that state. That is the state in biofeedback. They try to keep you in that theta state. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. That would explain possibly, I'm not for sure, but possibly why I find it so easy to lucid dream, to astral travel, to do all these things, because I had that formal training, whereas my sister did not. And I wondered if that opened up more of the hitchhiker type of phenomenon throughout my life. And I think, you know, this has been studied, like you mentioned, through IONS and Noetic Institutions and or Institute. And there's so much data that says if the general public knew the power of their own mind, and it's even been studied where we can retroactive change things in the past, and we can affect other people through our minds, that if everybody knew the power that they had right up here with their own thoughts, we would live in a different world right now.
Well, it's interesting because I've been working on a documentary on MKUltra survivors, and one of the individuals I talked to is Chris Latour, and he said when he was at the young age of six, after he was, you know, recruited by the government, his mother would put drops of LSD in his tongue on his way to school, and he told me that his first session, they put him into what were like a type of goggles to watch video, which kaleidoscoped a bunch of like war and pornography and abuse and murder, and he just watched it the whole day. They forced him to watch it. He couldn't take it off his head, and that was the first start of it. But he then went on to eventually, after a couple of years of being involved in the MKUltra program, that they started to move into controlling things with your mind and being able to move a boat, and that he was able to make the boat move a little bit, but when his whole class came together, they were able to make it move a whole bunch, and that's from his you know, that's from his testimony to me that I'm working on in this documentary. And a lot of these things sound very similar with the biofeedback program. What was you know, we got a minute and a half here before we go to commercial break, and we come back, we'll roll that second video clip, but what were some of your first memories of your early sessions in the biofeedback program?
For me, you know, I didn't connect it to anything with the ranch or anything strange like that. I really felt I was going to these appointments to get a handle on these debilitating migraine headaches. So my memories, coming from a child's perspective, I was always worried about just falling asleep because they really wanted to train you to stay in that theta state. So, you know, when you're that deeply relaxed, I remember my hands feeling really heavy, and that's actually part of the cassette tapes where your arms are heavy and warm. Warmth is flowing into your hands. And then also as a little kid, they made it into a game. So it was fun to see how much I can raise or lower my body temperature in my hands. But they would go limb to limb. And, you know, so you'd start with your left hand, heavy and warm and relaxed, and your right arm, and you'd go through your whole body, your
jaw. Katie, please
hold
that thought for us. We're going to have more when we come back from break. What a great conversation. This is really interesting. This is what comes down to dive into things. You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Fight for our sovereignty, with to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, goes, you're fat. Your own enemy. He goes, he does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but you know, didn't really, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10, but now I'm back where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Friends, has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the dual carbon gravity water filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris. You can find out more about me. Find me on rumble.com/TheRundownLive. You can also find me on Twitter /KristanT. Harris. And I'm on Facebook and just about every platform. We even tried doing a new YouTube. And that's been working out for the time being until they decide they want to boot me off again with all my followers. But that being said, today's guest is Katie Page. Katie Page has been talking to us about her experience in the biofeedback program, which is surprise, surprise. Some of the people involved had links to Area 51. Let's go ahead and roll that video clip number two, which is interesting because here they're like have this little kid and they wrap his head up in this like wet cloth and they're like, yeah, you can control the airplane. Let's do this.
Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Today we're going to fly the airplane and the rocket just like we did before, okay?
Okay.
Can you make the rocket go up?
Yeah.
All right, let's get you hooked up and we'll do that.
We have been personally criticized because we don't do control studies. We haven't brought in enough patients who are epileptics and tried other things like theta and alpha. on them. We invest 2 years in a patient. I mean, if we sign a patient into our study, they're going to come in 3 times a week for 2 years. Our feeling was, in order to cope with this, that the first thing we wanted to do is find out if the model we were working with had any validity at all.
Okay, Captain, this is the tower. You're ready for takeoff? All right, we got to get the rocket off the ground. Here we go.
The point is that we are giving him, through the feedback, an opportunity to focus on a brain state, which he seems to enjoy. And by doing that, we seem to be countering the seizure process.
Here they're actually able to control the seizure process by doing these rocket, quote-unquote, studies. And so I find it fascinating, just the coincidences between this program, because in the MK Ultra program, they had the alpha, beta, theta, and omega programs. And, you know, I think a lot of that might be based on the state of the mind that they got the individual, right? If they could get you in that theta state, then they could realize that you had potential for these things like remote viewing and astral projection, which is something our government had a lot of interest in. Sidney Gottlieb, who was the guy who was in charge of Operation Midnight Climax, Artichoke, MK Ultra, and was also teamed up with the military version of MK Ultra, which may have been a lot more sinister, called MK Naomi. They had different programs for each type of person, and they used the same type of slang and terminology. So in your point of going through this, what were some of the things that you were able to accomplish? Were you able to do such things as cool your hands down and slow your heart rate and blood pressure? What were some of the results you had that you remember? Because you were involved. You were sitting in that chair just like little Timmy there.
Yeah, Kevin. It's little Kevin right there.
I call him Timmy, you know.
That. Yeah, Timmy. Well, it brought back a lot of memories, but for me, the questions run deeper, and it really speaks to I feel like, and this ties into paranormal UFOs as well, but the ability to disassociate or like astral travel and leave your body, which often comes through trauma, near-death experience, deep meditation. These are all ways we can all leave our physical bodies and kind of astral travel or disassociate. And what's interesting to me, as a young child, we had a lot of trauma. My family and I did, starting in Illinois. I was actually born in Illinois, moved out to Colorado in 1970. But my half-brother was actually exhibited a lot of signs of autism, although autism wasn't a thing when he was a child. So he ended up, at the age of 14, started lighting fires. He burnt down a house in over Lake Como in Wisconsin. And then in 1973, he burnt down our home, our family home in Colorado, and was sent away to Pueblo State. He also suffered epilepsy. So for me, I'm making the connections that we might have been flagged or targeted because of the family trauma and because of my half-brother Gary in Pueblo State, who was epileptic. And I actually found documents that stated that the state hospitals were getting funded for some of these more MK Ultra biofeedback kind of type programs. And I feel like then in elementary school, I was put into the trauma divorcee programs that kind of spun off from that.
Well, Katie, what could you do with biofeedback? Because, what is the potential of this? Like, I joked about Night Flight of the Navigator experience where you could control a spaceship with your mind, or, you know, you see Magneto, you know, telekinesis, things like that. But what's the real potential of this? Because we're going to get into this article I have on the PsyGames in a second, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, first and foremost, it did really help with my migraine headaches. And, you know, I have a couple, now they're grown adult children who suffered with migraines as well. So they can be genetic. And I'm like, you need to get out my mom's biofeedback tape. So they are good for that, just like any type of calm, relaxate, deep breaths, those kind of things. But I also believe it's that training that, I mean, it was a joke. It was a running joke in my family where I'm like, oh, I have to go in and redream a dream, or, you know, I lucid dream all the time. So I'm always controlling my dreams every single night. And I'm like, well, that must come from that training. So I believe it opened up a window possibly in my brain that allows, you know, more paranormal activities that happens. It's I mean, almost weekly, and to the point where I'm like, I'm so glad I have witnesses to these events. People would think, wow, I can't. But I really believe it opened a doorway into being able to do those kind of things and have more control of your thoughts, your minds, your emotions, your breath, that kind of thing.
Well, was there a point where, you know, these type of this type of training actually led to more them trying to lead you down a psychic ability route? Because, you know, that was something our government was interested in at that time, was the psychic ability. And by them doing this, did you feel like they were slowly trying to prep you, train you into doing more with that type of ability?
I do. I think it went a little south for me, however. So I'm not sure, and I cannot prove this, but it's something I'm sure going to try to find. I'm just now, like, I just required all of my school records. I was in the same school district, the Cherry Creek School District, my whole life. So I you know, it was documented in that I was in the biofeedback program. So that was really interesting to see. But I also believe that for me, through my high school years, even as a young adult, went through a lot of depression, memory loss, these kind of things that I'm like, did the biofeedback program hurt me? Did it help me? I definitely think it must have changed me in certain ways. So these are all things I question, and I'm really trying to look into the answers to those right now.
Well, one of the reasons why I thought you'd make a great guest for today, there's a story out there that a lot of people don't know. And this might be breaking news here on the War Room that people haven't heard of. But they are running in, Charlotte, North Carolina, something called the Psy Games. Have you heard of the Psy Games before?
I have. Yeah, they did a little bit of that too at Contact in the Desert out there in Indian Wells, California. And this is, you know, nonverbal autistic children. They, you know, have the ability to communicate via telepathy. And I'm excited that this whole area of study is kind of getting the attention it is through Julia Mossbridge and a lot of the work she's done and others that are just tapping into this ability. And I think for the first time, we're going, wow, you know, this is documented. We can study this scientifically, and it's such important work. So the Psy Games are really just, you know, showing that these kids that are nonverbal, and I personally think it's not only nonverbal kids. I think we all potentially have the ability to have telepathic ability. I mean, how many times have we thought about somebody in the phone rings, that kind of thing, you know? So the Psy Games are really where they put that on display, really, for people to go, oh, wow, look at the potential of the human mind.
Well, not only that, like when we're looking at this, right, the Psy Games, identifying people who have extraordinary abilities. I wanted to go ahead and give you some substance here. When I was going through the Epstein files, there's emails that Jeffrey Epstein has talking about how autistic kids have the ability to be telepathic more than any other individual. They're much more higher ratio. I don't remember if it's 1 or 3%. It was something like that in the Epstein files. And I posted the article on my Facebook and my Twitter, and I'm like, huh, why is Jeffrey Epstein interested in telepathy? And it was just one of those random terms I searched was telepathy, and it came up in the Epstein files where he's talking to somebody about how autistic kids are way more telepathic than the standard individual. And they believe that. So right here on the Psy Games website, it says, the Psy Games are a groundbreaking tournament designed to explore and celebrate the full spectrum of psychic abilities. Grounded in the principles of the Bannister Effect, we aim to open participants' and spectators' minds to the vast potential of Psy by showcasing what is truly possible. This event is not about proving the possible, but also discovering what is achievable when we unite curiosity, integrity, and a skill in a community-driven environment. We bring together five teams of five to engage in a friendly yet challenging psi-based competition, so psychic competitions. Each team member focuses on one of five core categories: remote viewing, which is what is remote viewing for the listeners out there that may not know?
Yeah, you know, remote viewing, Lynn Buchanan, Joe McMonagle, if you've ever seen the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, basically you're getting to a deep relaxed state and there's different methods of doing it. Different people have different methods, but oftentimes they're giving just a random number from a number generator and you basically write down there's different protocol, but you write your impressions down and you can see a target anywhere in the world and even in the universe. People have remote viewed off planet Earth, and it's scientifically substantial, the evidence that we are able to do this, and any person could be trained to be a remote viewer. However, it does help to be less materialistic and more in your right brain and more you get in that disassociative state. So it's a fascinating area of research.
Well, it reminds me of Ghostbusters. Isn't it Peter Venkman in the yeah. beginning? He's got the cards and dude nails it, but the hot chick doesn't. But he says she has it right, and he keeps shocking the guy that gets the card right. And he's holding up a card and he says, "What does this say?" And he's like, "Oh, that's a plus symbol." And he was right and he'd shock him. And then, you know, it's like kind of also, I have a question. So they also mentioned mindsight, precognition, which I know what that is, psychokinesis. What is psychokinesis?
Isn't that where you can move things with your mind, or is that telekinesis? Psychokinesis?
I think it's telekinesis.
Yeah. Psychokinesis? Is that interchangeable though? I'm not really sure on that one.
I don't know if that's more like the men that psychokinesis is the physical ability to influence a physical system or move objects purely through mental effort without physical interaction. So telekinesis and psychokinesis, very similar in definitions anyways, but that's what the Psy Games are about. And it's kind of interesting to me because I think that if you were a government and you wanted to be predatory to identify anyone with special gifts, well, you would end up at places like Contact in the Desert, which comes to a whole nother thing that you just put down a new rabbit hole. A couple years ago, I photographed Mayorkas. It was Alejandro Mayorkas. I think that's his name. If I got it right, the head of the Department of Defense there. And I was wondering, why would somebody like Mayorkas be at a UFO convention? And that might be why. That might be one of the many reasons he showed up at Contact in the Desert. But now you have the Psy Games, and I bet you there's going to be no media there. I bet you nobody's going to cover that, and I bet you it's going to be full of potentially government agents. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think they'd want to go to see it to identify people that have abilities, or they have people that are part of it that are trying to identify people who have abilities? Because if somebody does something, you know, or something interesting, they would probably want to recruit them.
Absolutely. I recently have been listening to Dean Radin's book, where he's discussing a lot of these things, and I found it interesting. He was talking, and I actually think Joe Rogan had him recently on his podcast, and he had a spoon that he had bent, and he was telling us that, you know, that how he was able to bend the inside of a spoon, Uri Geller and all that. And I thought it was interesting, and this is really telling why the government and the secrecy, because then he's on the airplane just kind of thinking about it. He was going to maybe try to do it again while he's flying in an airplane, and he stopped himself because he didn't know how it worked. So what if the power of our mind, he was afraid, like, I'm in this tin can and I can maybe, the wings will fall off or I can crush the airplane in. So he's like, we don't understand how all this works, but we know it works. We know it's significant. And can you imagine how you can weaponize that then, Kristan? If people literally can do that just through their minds. And, you know, in the documentary, Lynn Buchanan is in that documentary with me, and he was saying, like, he won't touch that because, according to him, there are people that are trained that can, you know, hurt people or even potentially kill people with just their thoughts. Can you imagine how dangerous that would be if everybody was able to do that?
Well, what's interesting is that was brought up in Ryder Lee's upcoming documentary, Psychic Agent, where he asked mm-hmm. somebody that was directly in charge of the program, could this be used to assassinate individuals? And they refused to answer it. And they said that they have no further, you know, like they don't have, they're not looking to answer any more questions on the subject. And that's a really interesting thing. If we have the ability to do that, or people have the ability to direct their energy and do these things, it's quite quite incredible. So a couple of questions to kind of pivot here for a moment on the UFO phenomenon, because it seems like our government has been having these disclosure hearings, and you were once a very big part of the MUFON organization, which has the largest catalog of UFO reports in the largest library in the entire world. In fact, I heard rumors that NASA was trying to work alongside MUFON and get your database, and that, you know, there was a little bit of infighting going on about that. I don't know if that ever happened, and if you guys partnered with NASA to share your database with the government. I've noticed that they pivoted from talking about UFOs and when they've been releasing a lot of these disclosure documents into the biologicals. Like, we're going to talk about the aliens. Were there biologics attached to this? Nobody wants to talk about the spaceships. No one wants to talk about the technology. And then again, they could probably create an animal-human hybrid in a lab and say, oh, here's our alien. This is the biologics, if they wanted to. But what are some of the things that you believe are some smoking guns dealing with the disclosure documents that were being released, you know, after all the Epstein files was kind of drowned out by the Iran war and, of course, the disclosure documents here?
Yeah, so, I mean, just in the last week, we had dump number 4. What was it, like 40 files and 19 videos? So a lot of it is very visual videos and photographs. People love that. People, you know, I think it's intriguing. We're making the right steps. Me personally, though, being the investigator researcher side of things, I love poking around into the documents. And I think what's important about what's happening right now is looking at the bigger picture. You know, these lies for the last 80 years since Roswell that, oh, we don't care about this topic, or nobody's paying attention, and MUFON kind of picked up the torch after Project Blue Book in 1969. That's all a lie. And now we can clearly see that just based on the documents alone. So that alone to me is interesting, and it's about time that they're like, wait a minute, this is not true. And Kristan, you mentioned the MUFON project, and I was involved in a program. There's the Pandora files that had over 10. So before we had computers, all of the MUFON reports were done on paper. Many tens of, like 10,000 files. And so for 3 years, I was ahead of a team called the Mars team. We went through and we redacted over 10,000 files. And we're talking hundreds of pages. Some of them were like big files. The original Travis Walton files were in there, for example. And that was fascinating. But what was really interesting is the person, the individual who set up that whole program, left to go back to France right at the time Lou Elizondo came out. And I can remember sitting at the MUFON symposium when Lou Elizondo was on stage. This kind of was right at the beginning of this whole journey we've all been on as a nation. And it was almost like verbatim that I was aware in that moment that the Mars files went to Arrow, went to Lou Elizondo, and I finally, a few months later, got confirmation. So, yes, people are looking at those MUFON files. Absolutely, 100%. So I thought that was, oh, okay, this is interesting. And that's why it was like, here, Lou Elizondo and ATIP and all this, they got the information they need. Now, here, you can take it, and, you know, now MUFON's doing their own thing with it. But it's really fascinating that, you know, for sure that's been looked that.
What are your thoughts on McCaslin? They recently released his wife's testimony just about a week and a half ago. I don't think a lot of people have covered it, but he disappeared. You have a lot of these scientists involved in these government secrets, you know, scientists involved in these secret government operations. They're just disappearing. And, you know, that's one of those stories that hasn't gone away, although they did find the body of one of the individuals. I just wanted to get your take on it because, you know, McCaslin was in charge of what, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is a place that was rumored to have the Roswell wreckage, at least according to Tom DeLonge's conversation with John Podesta.
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, the fact that these phones are getting wiped and these people are disappearing and these just, you know, we hear it repeated with several of these missing folks. It's so unusual to me, especially the woman, I can't remember her name, I'm sorry the name escapes me, but she's just out there hiking and then just vanishes, like a lot of these missing 411, you know, David Plotty's kind of cases. And I'm like, you know, what is that all about? And what are they so afraid of them revealing that they go missing. I don't know. It's really compelling, and I hope we can find answers to this. But you're right. It had a lot of attention there for a while, and I haven't heard much more about it in the last month or so.
Right. So, you know, because when I look at a lot of this stuff, most of it, I feel like it's like just like the MKUltra programs and everything else. How many of these UFOs are government based? As I used to be a field investigator at MUFON for a short period of time, although only got to do and solve one case. You find out that most of the stuff that's reported is either government related, airplane related. And a lot of these videos, you look at them that are released, they could go any way. They could be airplanes. They could be new government aircraft. In fact, I asked Mark D'Antonio, who is a friend of mine, you know, he's got clearance. And I asked him, I'm like, what are the odds that this is the government just testing to see if this works on their own soldiers? Because it's always the military that gets the credible UFO footage. It's never Joe Schmo with a clear camera, full color, here's a UFO without lights, because they always have those cool lights and all this theatric stuff. But they usually look like a lot of drones. How do we know that most of this stuff isn't just government aircraft and they're trying to pass it off as some kind of UAP?
Yeah, we don't know that. And that's an excellent point, Kristan, because I think that's been going on for, 40 plus 50 years, even at Rocky Mountain Ranch. I just recently on my YouTube channel, Rocky Mountain Ranch Research, did a whole thing on the choppers and the choppers, which kind of takes us back to the mid to late 70s of these animal mutilations. Linda Moulton Howe was an investigative journalist back there in the day. But we had all these blacked out, strange, unmarked helicopters, and I just went through a document called The Choppers and the Choppers, and there were so many reported unmarked helicopters, even flying over our military bases like the drones. I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me we have unidentified helicopters flying over Malmstrom in Montana, and they don't know who or what they are? Back, in the mid to late 70s, and I can tell you, it was years ago at Laughlin, I ran into Richard Doty. For those of you who don't know, Richard Doty was, a self-professed disinformation officer there by Dulce Base and all that. And I asked him what was up with these unmarked helicopters and animal mutilations at Elbert County, Rocky Mountain Ranch, and he said it was a diversion. And the question then becomes, a diversion from what? What are you all hiding? Because they've been
Right. It's the smoke and mirrors. Katie Page, let listeners know where they can get in contact with you, where they can find out more about you. And, hopefully this documentary hits, Amazon, so that people can watch it. Ryder Lee's putting it out. Very good.
Yeah, people can find me at RockyMountainRanchResearch.org or Katie Page, and that's PAIGE.net. And again, I think a lot of the reason we're not having full disclosure is because of these secrets working with children. This is why Amazon didn't want to release this documentary right away. I hope Ryder Lee gets it out there. It deserves to be seen. And there's a lot of compensation to probably thousands of people across the country who are unwitting, pawns.
Katie, thanks for joining us today. We're just out of time here. No problem. Great show. Appreciate you. We'll have to have you back soon. You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. We'll be back. Steve Poikkanen from AM Wake Up will be joining us.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X.
at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site, with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
I want to bring down the new world order!
I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Kristan T. Harris here, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith on the War Room. And we got a lot going on here, but before we have our guests come in and join us, I wanted to make it aware how you guys can support this broadcast and keep this broadcast going, how you can keep it live. And there's no better way than heading down to the AlexJonesStore.com and picking up some of the great stuff we have on there. And let me tell you guys about what's going on, because there's only 4 days left. Every dollar you spend at the Alex Jones Store gets you 50 entries to win a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. And like, who doesn't need a new car? Cars are getting expensive, man. Like, who wouldn't want to win that? And that's a great opportunity. But it makes me want to go and do some shopping after I get off this broadcast right on our own website here. This is the time to stock up on supplements, you know, grab your gear and massively increase your chances to win. Anything you buy gets you entered. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com now. The deal ends Friday. That's right. This Friday at midnight. You don't want to miss it. Plus, there's plenty of other percentages off. You can double dip, man. It's what a great deal, man. Not only are you going to double dip, you're going to get your 40% off of your ultra methylene blue and all these other things. If you spend $29.99, guess what? It gets you a free mystery t-shirt. Who doesn't like a surprise? It's free. I mean, what do you get that's free these days anymore? You're always paying for something no matter where you go. Not to mention the new summer apparel that's on the website. For the first time ever, we're introducing the Hatteras Outdoor Performance button-up shirt, lightweight, quick drying, and featuring a genuine embroidered 13-star Betsy Ross flag for all those pure Americana listeners out there. And I'm excited about this one, the brand new 1776 heavyweight shorts. You can get them in a pair. Go pick up a bunch of stuff. Pick up some supplements. Pick up some new swag. Get out there. You know, go cloak and swagger, per se. And go ahead and look studly. Support this broadcast. This stuff is all made from premium heavyweight a material, the fleece, the vintage black, deep pockets, and our iconic embroidered 13-star design. These are built to last and only get better with wear. We've also got brand new patriotic hats and limited edition summer tees that you're going to love. Summer won't last forever, and I can tell you from right here in Wisconsin, it gets cold quick. So pick this stuff up, get it on, let people know that you support this broadcast. They're great conversation starters. A lot of people don't even know what the Betsy Ross flag is. Huh? No, a lot of people don't even know that the Alex Jones broadcast has moved to a brand new website. So this is a great way to spread the word, spread the gospel about the Alex Jones Network and support this broadcast, the AlexJonesStore.com. Not to mention, if you're talking about your health, the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture, introducing the new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture, one of the most advanced liquid turmeric formulas. The fast-absorbing liquid tincture is formulated with premium turmeric root, standardized to 95% curcuminoids, and the most powerful, extensively studied active compounds found in turmeric. We've combined it with ginger root and black pepper. That's the key there, guys. You got to have them all together to get the big punch extract. These extracts will help dramatically increase the absorption for your body so you're ready to go. It kills inflammation. Does so many wonderful things. I use it all the time. Turmeric is wonderful. Unlike ordinary turmeric supplements, this premium liquid formula is designed for superior absorption and maximum bioavailability. No fillers, no junk, just real ingredients that work together. With 60 full servings per bottle, Ultimate Turmeric Tincture is formulated to support healthy joints, mobility, antioxidant defenses, digestive health, and your body's healthy inflammatory response as part of a healthy lifestyle. And right now, when you subscribe, you'll get an incredible 50% off. Just go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the new turmeric tincture today. Take control of your health, support this broadcast, and experience the difference that premium fast-absorbing turmeric can make. And not to mention, you're going to get all those entries to get a 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie and the free t-shirt. What a deal! Like, who doesn't want to take advantage of that? So head on down to the alexjonesstore.com. Pick it up today. I'm telling you, we need your support for this broadcast. A lot of people need
this. This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now.
Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
What do you guys think about invisible drones? Invisible drones! Yup, they are here. That's right. The new surveillance state is getting crazier and wilder. And here to break down some incredible stories is Steve Poikonen. Steve Poikonen hosts the AM Wake Up broadcast, an award-winning, no-holds-bars broadcast that combines the best of morning radio and cutting-edge analysis. Welcome to the broadcast, Steve. Man, I'm telling you, the world gets crazier and crazier when we're talking about futuristic technology, Steve. I'm telling you that this stuff is getting wild and wilder and wilder. They Live comes to mind. A lot of movies come to mind. But we're talking about invisible drones.
Who doesn't feel comfortable, Kriston, knowing?
I feel safer already.
Yeah, at any moment you walk outside and there could be a swarm of invisible spy to weaponize drones just waiting to keep you safe.
Well, that's what they're there for, of course. And I'm sure the law enforcement would love to have invisible drones. I mean, what would the uses be? I guess if you're going to have your big screen TV delivered and then it can just uncloak right in front of your home, that might be a safer idea. But I don't feel like, you know, Amazon or UPS or USPS is going to use invisible drones. I have a feeling that these are more military aspects. And my question is, like, I just got done talking to Katie Page, who was involved in the biofeedback program, and I didn't even mention that you were a part, like, you have experience in the GATE program early on. So, like, talking futurism with you is something that's interesting. But yeah, invisible drones, we need them. Of course, we couldn't survive without them. This sounds like something straight out of The Predator, where the Predator has the invisible cloak. How long have they had this technology? They might have had it for 30 or 40 or 50 years, and now they're just bringing it out there, right?
It is one of those situations where it seems like if they're commercializing it or announcing it for use in law enforcement domestically, that it's had some opportunity to prove itself overseas first. And this is something that's using, instead of like a cloaking technology, it's simple motion blur. It's literally moving too fast for you to catch really what's there or what it's doing. And so it plays more on the human eye and the human mind than it does any sort of advanced masking technology. But to your point about police officers loving it, this in combination with a lot of the other surveillance technology that I think we're going to be talking about today, just it heralds the alarm for the death of cognitive function in modern policing. Because if you're a cop, all you have to do is say, well, the robot said. There's no following a lead anymore. There's no, chasing down potential suspects. There's just, well, the robot said, and now you are 100% guilty until proven innocent. And that's not the country that we were promised.
Well, they won't care. The taxpayers will pay out for any lawsuits that happen. And there are a lot of lawsuits right now for wrongful arrests dealing with AI and flock cameras even. And, we could talk a little bit about that, but I just can't get over the fact that we now have invisible drones. Like, this is they live category. I want you guys out there who are listening to this broadcast to think about that. Invisible drones, non-viewable to the eye. They look blurry. You can't see what they are, because there is no drone program, Barack Obama's, spokesman said. Remember that? There is no drone program. Now you can buy them at Best Buy. Now they got invisible drones. And law enforcement will never get drones. Now they got drones. And there'll never be cameras on the street corners. Americans will never support that. Now the same people that were telling you that you need a tinfoil hat are the ones that are fighting to support the idea of the surveillance state. The people who said, oh, you would never want, America, we'll never put cameras on a street corner. Now they're going at, well, we need those cameras. And get your tinfoil hat back on. So which is it? They aren't putting cameras on the street corners, and when I show you that they're here, oh, now we need them. It's because you can't admit to being wrong. It blows my mind to how many people out there, the whole road to self-improvement is admitting you're wrong and moving forward. And that's having some base in reality, not being an echo chamber and a program. Because as you know, Steve, I talk a lot about programming on the Rundown Live, my show. And people out there are just programs. And they're running different programs, but they're running the program where, invisible drones, we need them to go in combat with Iran, probably. And who knows who else? China and Russia and anyone else, Mexico, anywhere else we need to go to establish a new world order, because America would accept the new world order as long as the orange Donald Trump leads us right into it. And I'm not going to say, he's the lesser of two evils. I think that Kamala Harris would have gotten away with deporting all these people because no one would have said anything.
That's an interesting point. And look, they say that fear is the mind killer, right? Well, so is partisan hackery. And you can have an argument all day long about red team, blue team, but everyone knows that red team or blue team, they're driving everyone with different marketing approaches into this technocratic panopticon that you and I have been talking about for a very long time. And it's an issue where, okay, well, if we point the finger at Antifa or the left long enough, then the people who used to be against cameras everywhere will be for cameras everywhere. If they turn around in a couple of years with, God forbid, President Newsom, and they do the exact same thing to the right, the people who had been previously surveilled will have this politics of spite attitude about everything, because that's the era we live in right now. It's the era of politics of spite. And they'll go, well, we got spied on, so now it's your turn to get spied on. And at no point is anyone going, let's stop with all of this madness. We're not this dystopian hellhole. We're not any other country. We're the United States of America, and we don't do this.
Yeah, I remember early on during the Trump administration when he wanted to deem Antifa a terrorist threat. All I could think about is that he was giving them some form of validation in their beliefs, right? He's giving them validation that they are the resistance. And so I'm like, things are going to get much worse. They're going to start doing things that are real terrorism now. Not that they weren't doing bad things already. Now look at what we got. We got a alleged assassination attempt on Charlie Kirk, right? Until Tyler Robinson gets proven that it was him that shot him, obviously. We've had plenty of other craziness go on with the anti-fascists, because they've been indulging and they have validation that they are now the enemy. And obviously that makes Donald Trump and America and the Americana ideology the enemy. And that's what's making socialism boom right now. Everyone's like, capitalism, look at it, it's failing. We're hurting. Our economy sucks right now. A lot of that's because of the whole COVID shutdowns, amongst other things. Here we're at it, capitalism isn't so great. So now all of a sudden you got all these socialists popping up all over the place. Some of them are getting elected. Even here in Wisconsin, we got socialists running for governor. We used to have the last socialist mayor in the 1960s that was a German socialist. So I'll let you think about what kind of socialist that was. But that's really where the kids are starting to turn, because of the fact that this administration has killed the ideology of capitalism, has not stood by what they claimed that they were going to do, anti-war. I remember at least we were able to say, oh, Trump won't start any new wars. He hasn't before. If we get into war, it's well-deserved. But surprise, the Epstein files came out and we needed to be sidetracked, and using something straight out of the Bill Clinton, playbook, we went ahead and did exactly that. And most of America went into their tribal manner that, oh, okay, let's forget about the Epstein files. Biden had control of it first. It's all fake and plagiarized. And there's this whole idea where nobody knows what reality is. Nobody knows what is real. We're just taking everything in at one time. I have to mention something a lot of people don't think about. This is the first time the government ever created a search bar for anything. The Epstein files I'm talking about. Before, you could just get the dump and you could comb through it and find something. Why is it that the government made their own search bar so you could use it to find whatever you're looking for, unless they're going to filter it out so you can't find certain things? That's the way I think anyways. But moving forward to what you said, that's the same government now that needs invisible freaking drones, right? It's something straight out of Dr. Evil. Austin Powers number 4, here we come. Bring on the invisible drones,
It's yet another situation with not just, I don't want it to seem like I'm just picking on the U.S. government here. This is all governments. This is what governments do. They demand transparency from the peasantry. And they demand equal privacy, if not greater privacy, than they're submitting and subjecting the rest of the people to in terms of transparency. So they'll never want the flock light shown back on them. In fact, there's a guy running around right now trying to film flock employees, trying to film on location at flock offices. And wouldn't you know it, Kriston? They're not too happy about being surveilled. They're not. The people who want to make sure that we're on camera 24/7, that even our Wi-Fi routers act as, cameras that show three-dimensional objects moving around in an area, that they are written completely out of that equation. And rank hypocrisy aside, it should be driving a lot of questions for the average individual going, why is it necessary for them to know where all of us are at all times, but we have to sue our local government, we have to sue our state government or the federal government in order to find out what they're doing with that data, who they're selling it to, why it's necessary to compile a database on every single human being in the country, where all of our movements are tracked and monitored, where all of our communications are recorded. What part of Constitution or Bill of Rights does any of this fit into?
Well, you must have wanted it, Steve. You paid for it. Your tax dollars paid for it. And you don't have access to any of the data. Only some government. And by the way, we're going to get into flock cameras here in a little bit, because there's a lot there. But Texas, check this out. Texas decided to use 4.5 million of your taxpayer dollars for 4 Tahoes decked out in state-of-the-art, futuristic surveillance technology. That's a real article. If you guys haven't checked this out, you think you'd be irate. How many starving veterans could you feed with $4.5 million? Is this something that the local community was like, yeah, we need four Chevy Tahoes, $4.5 million stuffed with surveillance technology? That's that Oreo stuffing everyone loves. Right there, just, Stingray, Hailstorm, probably built right in, downloading your cell phone conversations and texts right to the car. The next thing they're going to have is robots like this. They're going to have those Nightscope K5s built in with the Hailstorm, built in with the Flock, tied to some Fusion Center database, tracking you at real time at all the time. And, first of all, Steve, what's the danger of our government just having Flock cameras and license plate? Well, just in general, or law enforcement having the ability to listen into your cell phone conversations with Stingray and Hailstorm and have the ability to know where you're at all time. What's the real issue there? Because if you're not doing anything wrong, who cares, right? That's the argument.
Well, according to the marketing in the Constitution, it's a foundational and fundamental right that doesn't happen to us, that we have freedom of movement, that we have freedom of association, that we have freedom of speech. And monitored speech makes everyone a little bit more likely to self-censor. And when you don't have freedom of association and you don't have freedom of movement, then you don't have freedom. They're taking every tenet of civil liberties and just trampling all over them. They're taking our civil rights and they're trampling all over them. And more than that, you don't get to be in my business like that. That's basic human decency that's being violated at every conceive, at the molecular level, at this point, at the biometric level. Basic human decency is being violated.
Hey, $4.5 million Chevys, that's what we really need. Stuck with surveillance gear so they can ride around and cruise around. Good old Falco net there. They're going to drive around and cruise around and just suck up all that metadata. And, our government really needs that, right? They need those Chevys. And they're going to start putting these around anywhere else. Remember when it used to just be military surplus? They're like, yeah, we accidentally made 13,000 too many MRAPs. So we'll give them to the cops. And the cops are like, oh, I want my free MRAP. And every county would have an MRAP. And if there's like a war, they could kind of bring them all together. And, they all train with the military. I remember those good old Bruce Willis movies where the local jurisdiction was like, we got jurisdiction here. The sheriff has jurisdiction here. Get the feds the hell out. Now they're training with the feds. Now they're getting the military gear. They're training with the military. And it's accelerationism. And some people think it's needed for the modern day culture of protests and riot. But all I've learned it really does is cause protesters to up their game. They're coming out with shields now. They're coming out with broomsticks. It looks like a medieval revolt with pitchforks in a lot of the case. I know in Kenosha, I covered it as a key reporter. I was a witness in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I had to take the stage. It was really incredible to see all the makeshift gear. They're coming out in football helmets and hockey gear and all this stuff now because law enforcement is. Back in the day, they just hosed them down with the water hose at the fire hydrant, just grabbed it up and shoot them all with water. But now they got the rubber bullets, the pepper balls, the drone the invisible drone surveillance, which will be coming. And then maybe we'll put some tasers and pepper balls on them. We need that stuff, Steve. We need it.
Well, don't forget the long range acoustic devices. Don't forget the heat cannons, the ion pulse cannons, stuff like that, that many, many police departments have. And when you say that they're training with the military, Kristan, it's not just the U.S. military, it's the Israeli military too. And you'll find when you look into Falconet that they're partnered with a company called Cognite, which is the Israeli-based firm that is the equivalent to Palantir.
We need.
All of these surveillance companies, and when I say all of them, I'm not being facetious, I'm not exaggerating in the slightest, all have direct connections to foreign intelligence actors who went and spent their time in Unit 8200 or Israeli military intelligence and then got out and started up a surveillance software company. And you go down the list from everyone who's operating in the U.S. right now, from, you know, Flock to Leonardo to this, you know, Falconet system in Texas, which, by the way, Texas was just jealous of Florida because Florida's had this, it had a couple of these Tahoes for a while now. So they just wanted to get in onto that action. But at the board level or the CEO level, there's a direct link inextricably to Israeli military intelligence. And that should, again, anyone who's concerned about sovereignty should perk their ears up, regardless of what the foreign country is that has an inordinate foothold in domestic surveillance. Doesn't have to be Israel. It could be anyone. When it's China, we get particularly upset. But for some reason, when it's Israel, broadly, people give it a pass. I sense that the tide is turning on that, though.
Well, I think that we had a large group of individuals, especially with the Pentecostal and Protestant Christians, who do believe like that following Israel is a good idea biblically. And I can understand that. But the problem is it also says in their Bible about the synagogue of Satan and that those that are ruling are really, you know, the synagogue of Satan. And what do we keep finding out? That these people are involved, what, Sabini and Frankis, they're involved in a cult and child sacrifice and Baal worship. And that's really who's running things through blackmail and satanic ritual abuse. But that's okay. We can give them surveillance. We'll go ahead and share all the data with the people who are trying to run the world and blackmail our government and potentially that we're involved with Jeffrey Epstein. Those are the exact type of people that need this metadata to, you know, track everywhere you go and develop a surveillance state. And it's interesting that you mentioned that if we built in a surveillance state that watched politicians at all time, that watched government officials at all time, they wouldn't like that at all. I bet you if I had a shirt on and I'd binoculars standing from the sidewalk looking into somebody's home, they would call the cops on me. But as long as your Wi-Fi spies on you or your television spies on you or your washer and dryer or toaster or refrigerator spies on you, that's completely okay. That's fine, Steve. We love it. Give us the surveillance state. And it's going to all tie into social credit scores. They're going to turn every interaction into a transaction. Like you mentioned, people are going to self-censor themselves. They're not going to be genuine humans anymore. Right now, what we have on social media is the wild, wild west. But wait till your social credit score is going to be based on the things you say on social media. Wait till your social credit score is based on who you're friends with. And if you post that, you think 9/11 was an inside job and potentially Mossad could have been part of that. Sorry, Richard Gage. He was saying that a long time ago, and he got crucified for it. It's okay to ask questions, but if the wrong person is involved, they're going to go ahead and crucify you and make it so you can't talk to anyone anymore. And sometimes you wonder who really runs this government. Well, look at who we're at war with, Iran, which we shouldn't be, but obviously the Epstein files were trending, so it just makes sense that we went to war with Iran all of a sudden, and we're still not solving that war. I thought Donald Trump had the peace treaty arranged for the 28th, 29th, 30th time and that was going to happen. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. Now they're talking troops on the ground. What the hell's going on there? And by the way, we overtook Iran. I'm sorry to not let you talk for a moment, but we sent in our own CIA assets. We overthrew their government. We did such a crappy job over there that they had a revolt, overthrew our puppets we put in there, and then we're like, oh, we'll re-infiltrate it. But we haven't been able to now, so now we're going back in trying to fix the mess that we left. And we shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's really the right answer.
Well, no, I completely agree with that. This is a war that the United States didn't need to be involved in on any level. We were talked into surrounding Iran with military bases over the last 25 or 30 years. It's depleted the United States in terms of treasure and resources immensely. The ongoing campaign in the Middle East, which is by all logical extremes, at the direct benefit and applied upon the orders of the Israeli state. And I think everybody really has a grasp of that now, which is why, in addition to being lied to over and over and over by Donald Trump, where we already took out their nuclear facilities last year. Now we had to go to war again this year to take out their nuclear facilities. The war was going to last 2 days, which took 2 weeks, which if you ever
Steve,
saw the
hold that thought, brother. We're heading to commercial break here. Operation Ajax. Know your history, people. Look up Operation Ajax, where we overthrew the Iranian government. That's where all the problems started. We should have never been there in the first place. Call me Ron Paul. I don't know.
Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter showerhead. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your showerhead. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever. In my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90-plus percent reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Yeah.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris. You can find me at therundownlive.com. Find me in Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are found. We host live nightly on Ground Zero Plus as well. You can find the broadcast. Our guest today is Steve Poikkanen from AM Wake Up, one of the great morning shows. Well, it's the show to wake up to early in the morning. You're up before anyone else out there in the West Coast, and it's a great program. I love it a lot, and I really want to give you a shot to kind of plug your stuff here in a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that are viral right now all over the place are these flock cameras. And I want to go ahead and mention that there's a kind of like a revolution happening. Like, there's some power of the people being flexed right now. And there's a lot of conservatives that are really all down for the surveillance. I think it's because it's the left that doesn't like the flock cameras all of a sudden. But, you know, if you go back about 5 or 10 years, it was the right that didn't like the, you know, the flock, like the cameras and surveillance. It's kind of like with cops, right? You know, during the whole COVID thing, the right really disliked cops. You know, grandma's getting tackled. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was the left that doesn't like cops because of ICE, amongst other things. We'll get into maybe a little bit of that and just the craziness of ICE not honoring any of the Constitution, really. You know, taking American citizens, putting them on the ground, putting guns to their head while they search hotels in Chicago, and weird and bizarre stuff, shooting Americans, you know, that are, or people here that are here illegally shooting them. It's wild to me. But I want to go ahead. We're going to start off by rolling this clip. Go ahead and play clip four. They're switching out these flock cameras with something worse.
These flock safety cameras, used to help law enforcement read license plates to catch criminals, are under fire here in the Fox Valley. And while Grand Chute voted to remove them Tuesday night, it also voted to install new cameras through Axon, a competing company.
We talked with Axon, and they offer a very solid product, something that we believe benefits the community in multiple ways and also respects resident privacy in a way that feels more comfortable, quite honestly.
The police chief says the town would have more knowledge of how the data is being used if another department accesses it. Chief Moss also cited a pattern of inaccuracies, including with Flock's relationship with Oshkosh, poor service with malfunctioning cameras, and a lack of security protocols in agencies it shares data with. To give you an idea, here in Grand Chute, each dot on the map represents a camera. That's 23 in total. You can see they're concentrated in that Fox River Mall area. Now on Tuesday, unlike in other municipalities, no residents spoke in favor or against the Flock cameras. Now in light of this, we asked Flock why the public should still trust its services. Flock highlighted the success it's had catching criminals and added, each agency owns and controls its data, including who can access it and whether it is shared. Continuing, when issues are identified, our focus is on resolving them quickly. We have continued to invest in reliability, support, and clearer customer communication, and we remain committed to being the kind of responsive public safety partner agencies can count on. The police chief says he already planned to not renew the agreement with Flock when it was set to expire next summer, but the recent behavior of Flock caused him to speed up his recommendation. The move has no financial impact on the town. Reporting in Grand Chute, I'm David Goh, Fox 11 News.
So, of course, you get rid of the flock cameras and you think you have a small victory, and they're like, nah, bring on the real surveillance. They now got these flock cameras that our motion, they follow you. They're like 360 degrees. They motion sense. And then when you walk by, they're like checking you out. They're like following you everywhere you go. They're following your plates. How are these, how are these things being used, Steve? Are they being used just to, capture license plates, or are they recording a lot more?
Well, there's a big scandal recently with Flock employees that were accessing middle school gymnasium, elementary school gymnasium.
No.
Because for some reason, for some Dunwoody, Georgia, they got in a bunch of big trouble down there. There are flock cameras that point at playgrounds that are nowhere near where a road is. There are flock cameras that are pointing on walkways for public parks, for state parks. There are flock cameras that are pointed directly at the entrance of sporting goods stores, Kristan, that sell firearms. Now, again, why you need license plate reader cameras pointed directly at the entrance and exit of a sporting goods store where they sell firearms seems pretty self-explanatory to me. They want to know if you're walking out with a nice long box and a couple of little smaller boxes that say ammo on it. This is about maintaining a database on every citizen, and we're in the era of surveillance state whack-a-mole right now. Because if you get rid of the Flock contract, then the Axon light post contract pops up, or the Leonardo signal trace pops up, or what is it, the Orchestra Veritas package pops up. But there are, again, a lot of these, and they all have the same Unit 8200 Israeli surveillance connection.
Oh, yeah, and we just need to have the floodgates. We'll have more people look at it. That makes me feel safe. It's going to go through more hands. Don't worry. It's not as bad as Flock. Mm-hmm. At least that's what they're telling you from the same people who claim that Flock cameras only record license plates. You know, it's just crazy to me. And where does this data go? You see these data centers popping up all over the place. It makes you wonder why they need these crazy data centers, not just for the robots to come in and fold your laundry and wipe your ass. They're going to need these AI data centers to type, you know, to kind of build your virtual reality, your virtual world. You know, I always thought it was interesting when we talk word magic, the term for Meta backwards is Adam. And when you think about what Meta is doing, they're developing a virtual world. Adam as in the building blocks of life. They're building the virtual world for people. And they need Microsoft needs these Meta data centers. We need them all over the place. And they're destroying, you know, a lot of the environment in the local area. They're using a lot of the water. They're contaminating the water. They're causing problems. In fact, there's this whole article. People are throwing acid-filled balloons, which I don't, obviously, we never encourage violence. But why are people throwing acid-filled balloons at data centers? Like, what's that going to do? The left sometimes does some things that I don't understand. But hey, acid-filled balloons.
So, okay, so what's really going on with that? A couple of things going on with that. Number one, it's the organization that is being accused of doing it is Extinction Rebellion. I personally believe Extinction Rebellion to be a highly compromised organization, that for every 10 people that you see as a member, 7 or 8 of them are either informants or assets of some sort of intelligence agency or police apparatus. I don't believe them to be that legitimate of a group. Which is why I think that they're spearheading the more violent aspect of it. You and I don't believe in political violence, Kriston. We're opposed to terrorism like that. The concoction that they're throwing is highly acidic. In terms of its ability to chew through concrete. So what they're trying to do with these is literally acid bomb the structure in order to weaken it, so that it's compromised and you can no longer safely have a data center there without tearing the whole thing down and then rebuilding it and reinforcing everything, which is a very interesting way of going about it. Although I will say this, if anybody's going to fill acid in a water balloon and throw it this way, make sure it's the fun kind and not the melting concrete kind. Just if we're going to do that.
Well, yeah. So, you know what's interesting? Some things that really come to mind is the Boogaloo movement, how it's all compromised. You have the Mike Dunn situation. You know, there's a documentary coming out by Ford Fisher about that. You guys should check it out, about, you know, the Boogaloos being infiltrated. But it's the same idea. So what they want to do is pay a bunch of provocateurs. They get paid per person that they get to do dumb stuff, like throw acid balloons at a data center, and they target a data center, right? And everyone's electric bills are going up, and it's just going to cost us all more money just so that they can get paid and they get people to do dumb stuff. So it doesn't surprise me on the left that they would be infiltrated by a lot of government goons who are looking to get paid by causing other people to do extremist things. And throwing water balloons at the data centers is one of them. Steve, what are some of the complications we are seeing with data centers? Why is it that everyone dislikes this idea? Because if they can help create more jobs, if they can help make our life and society easier, what's the trade-off? What's the problem with these data centers?
Well, there's a few, and I think people are becoming cognizant of the reality, Kriston, that these aren't data centers, they're surveillance centers. And that, even of them, even on its face, is creepy enough. The other thing is, they don't give you any long-term jobs. Yes, temporary construction jobs in a location for the duration of the build, but once that's gone, so are the jobs. In Grand Rapids, Iowa, and that area, they had two big data centers come in, one from Google and I think one from Meta. And they did an assessment saying that there would be no more than 61 semi-permanent jobs created for the hundreds of thousands of acres that get chewed up by this going forward. And that was contractually all they needed and all they had to have. You can't have on-site personnel because they're giant server farms. So a human being walking into that is going to get cooked. So anybody who does, you know, observational protocol, whatever it is, or even remote, bug fixing is going to be doing it off site. So even the permanent employees aren't going to be living in the community. They're all getting tax incentives. They're all getting a bunch of kickbacks. So they're not actually developing the communities that they're operating in. They're not giving anything back to them. In fact, they're cleaning up from them while they poison the water, while they raise the ambient temperature. And this isn't global warming alarmism. It's just when you have to have massive cooling towers that suck up all the water around you to regulate the temperature in the facility, that heat does radiate. They were talking about how in Salt Lake City, the average temperature on the ground has gone up significantly enough to notice during the implementation of this massive data center process. So it's weird, too, that finally you've got Extinction Rebellion on the limited hangout end doing political violence about it. But other than that, you don't see any of the climate change people or the pro-environment people raising the alarm about the surveillance centers. It's only coming from the liberty communities and some of the more like agorist communities. Very interesting to know.
Well, yeah, it's interesting all around how they seem to be, really against the idea. It's the conservative market's like, this is going to create a lot more jobs. But the liberty and the libertarians, you know, the Thomas Massey, Ron Paul type people of the world are saying, hey, guys, watch out. This is crazy. Something you mentioned here really stands tall is the fact that Microsoft and Google and these companies are saying that these are the only type of data centers that they can make. It's the only way to use it or to cool these data centers is to use water, which we found out to be a lie. Guys, roll clip 5. This is Doug, who has data centers in Hiawatha. They are not toxic to the environment. They can build them. They just don't wanna. Here, check this out.
And everything that Google is telling you is BS. My name is Doug Seavey. I've called the mayor and suggested that I get put on some kind of a committee because I'm Palo's resident expert. I build data centers. I own data centers. I built the first private data center in the state of Iowa. And everything that Google is telling you is BS. I have a data center right now that's running in Hiawatha, and I have been there 14 years and have never used 1 gallon of water. What Google isn't telling you is they don't want to use the technology because it costs more. They're going to burn through the water, and when it's done, and they don't care.
And that's what it comes down to. They're going to use your water. They don't care. They're going to lie to you, say that this is the only way we can do it. We got to use your water to make these data centers. They got the money to pay for the good data centers, too, on top of it. And they could make a profit. But they don't really care about the environment. That makes me think about how full of crap Maurice Strong was back in the 80s with this whole global warming. You know, that big oil mongol who made all that money, you know, carbon credits, Al Gore, New York. York underwater. The glaciers are gone by 2020. All that trash. It just was a bunch of malarkey. And here we have the same companies that were really worried about it, the carbon credits. But now we got to build AI data centers. So you know what? Nobody believes that stuff anymore. The conspiracy theorists were right once again. Alex Jones was right once again. But we're not going to go ahead and give them the credit. We're just going to go ahead and be silent about it and say, we have to use your water. It's the only way we can do it, which is really trash and really not true. Because, you know, good old Doug over here in Hiawatha is building data centers that don't even use a gallon of water and are cooling just fine. Now, I want to know, and you want to know why computers are expensive? You want to know why SSDs are expensive? You want to know why cell phones have gone up in price and laptops and everything else? Because the graphics cards and the hard drives that are solid state drives are being sucked dry by these data centers. That's who's getting them. They're taking all the components so you can't get a damn laptop. And, you know, the price of all that stuff's going to skyrocket. That's why for the last 10 years, we can't get bigger than a 1 or 2 terabyte solid state drive because the data centers are sucking them all up and buying them in bulk. And if you want to buy one, yeah, it'll be $500 or $600. The price of those things haven't gone down at all. It's because these data centers are really, you know, depleting your market. They're depleting the overall supply and demand. So data centers, kind of crazy. And what's the solution here? What do you think the result is going to be of this, Steve?
Well, if enough people just opt out, then it dies on the vine. And that's the thing. There are movements, you typically in the younger generations, where they're going off of smartphones, they're going back to dumb phones, they're going away from having, you know, smart homes, smart this, smart that. They're talking about dumb homes. There was something called the Summer of LUD in New York this year, in I think East Village or something like that, where they were holding classes on like how to have game and approach people and have real conversations in three-dimensional space and getting away from the dating apps and stuff like that. So I think nature wants to find a balance, and we are natural beings still, most of us, I think, I hope, I pray, we're natural beings. And so we're striving for some kind of balance in this. I don't think anybody really wants to burn it all down and go back to the 1700s, but what I do see is a recognition that this is invasive, unnecessary, unconstitutional, in many ways illegal technology that has forced its way into our lives, into our homes, into our vehicles, into our workplaces, and we're trying to find that balance. So whatever that looks like, I know it starts with not mass adopting all of this nonsense.
Well, you know, the Patriot Act, we needed that. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. And you said a lot of very interesting things, and I can relate and I can equate. You know, is that the new one-liner pickup line? Do you want to live off the grid with me, baby? Is that what makes the hot mess?
Hey, baby, you like chickens?
Yeah, you like chickens? You want to go grab some eggs with me? You know, like same day fresh eggs, you know. It's interesting, you know, people back in the day, they used to get their marijuana from a shady drug dealer. Now people get their marijuana in a store, and now people get their eggs from a shady egg dealer and don't buy their eggs in the store. It's crazy to me how the world has gone and how it's flipped. But, yeah, more women I meet, you know, I'm a single dude, and whenever I try to meet a girl that I'm interested in, it seems like a common theme that more and more people are interested in living off the grid, getting out into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm from Wisconsin. That's where I got this silly accent from, right? People north of Illinois can understand me completely. Maybe you guys in Cajun country, you guys need a translator. But, you know, at the end of the day, people want to move to the UP. People are talking about moving to Wyoming and into Oregon and these places just to be off the grid, to be completely away from society. And at what point is that going to be considered, like, you know, the terrorism list? What are the top characteristics of a terrorist? They want to use cash, wear a backpack, blue jeans, and live off the grid. Is that what it's going to be? Because I can tell you, women love the idea of having a farm, having their own chickens. You joked about it, but it's true. Raw milk, having their own garden. That's what's coming back. And you should learn how to plant. I think it's sexy when a girl's like, I got a garden and I'm growing some, you know, pickles or whatever it might be. You know? That's the way to do it, Steve. And I think people have gotten away from all of that. They've gotten away from the earth. They've gotten away from having human interaction. I remember, I was on a date maybe like 10 years ago, and the girl was a little bit younger than me. She was about 8 or 9 years younger than me. And she asked me, you know, so how do you meet people? And I'm like, you know, the grocery store, or maybe if I rent back then, I think there was still a Blockbuster or two. You know, if I go out for DVDs, you meet a girl and be like, oh, a bottle of wine. You got a DVD. What are you up to tonight? You want to hang out? Want to make a friend? You know, we would meet people like at a laundromat. We would talk to people, especially women, you know, to say, hi, how you doing? And, you know, the woman learned to, you know, objectively be like, yeah, no, I'm not single, or whatever it is, you know, or some of them would take you up on it. I can't tell you how many dates I've gotten just meeting people and having a good time. But she's like, that's weird. I'm like, well, how do you meet people? She goes, oh, I use a dating app. I'm like, you order people out like pizza? What do you want today? Pepperoni? Do you want bacon on your pizza? What is it that you want on your pizza? Because you're ordering people out like pizza. When I used to bartend, I remember women would bring their men into the bar because I was a safe bartender and they liked me. And when the guy would be out in the bathroom, they'd already be on their day app looking for their next date. That's like, the guy didn't even have a chance. He's already looking for what the next upsell is. And it's about that dopamine kick. It's about meeting somebody new and upgrading and getting something better. And the thing is we got to learn to be human again and conversate with each other. Steve, we have about 2 minutes here. I want to give you a second to plug yourself. Let people know about AM Wake Up, because your show is great. I love having a cup of coffee in the morning, listening to your broadcast early in the morning, obviously before I go on air from noon to two on Ground Zero Plus. And you as well, I know I have been growing your platform, and you're available on Rumble and BitChute and all these other platforms. So tell our listeners a little bit about you and your program. And I might not let, you know, I'll let them know that you're an award-winning indie podcast. There, you got an award.
There we go. I did, in fact. Yeah. No, it's morning radio the way that I always wanted to hear it when I was growing up. So we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of jokes. We listen to some music, and we give you your news 6 months early, 12 months early, sometimes 5 years early. And it's a great community of people there. You can find us in AM Wake Up on Rumble, on Odyssey, BitChute, on Twitter, groundzeroplus.com, vigilante.tv. And I think that's it. Substack. If I didn't say Substack. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's the new way. Digital radio.
7 to 10 a.m. every morning on the West Coast, 9 to noon Central is when we broadcast.
And by the way, it's crazy because digital broadcasting is the way to go. And we syndicate on every platform we can to get to the most people and reach as many people. So if you're looking at supporting our broadcasts, you can always reach out to us. Obviously, thank you to the people over here at the Alex Jones Network. They do a wonderful job. Thanks for joining me, Steve. And last question, man, what's the solution? How do we unplug from all this?
Well, it's as simple as just, you know, turning your Wi-Fi off at night. That's a huge first step. There's lots of different ways that you can go about doing it. Remember that they still make physical books. Remember that you're a natural being. Go have three-dimensional conversations with people. Put down and walk away from Netflix at night. Go build yourself a little bonfire in the backyard. Invite some friends over. Crack a few brews. Tell some stories. You know, that kind of thing. Do make a return to what made us all human. I think little steps in that direction every day are going to make a massive difference.
Yeah, well, the leader doing that right now at Bohemian Grove, which is going on, by the way. You know, they're cracking their brewskis. They're doing their mock child sacrifices. Why can't we celebrate and have some time, good time with our friends, invite your friends, make phone calls, and meet them in person? People don't even play video games together anymore. They do it with the headset. I remember back in the day, we'd have to go to our friend's house. Steve Poikkanen, AM Wake Up, thank you for joining us. Kristan T. Harris, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith on the War Room. Thanks for tuning in. We have a great guest joining us in just a moment. We have Justin Robert. We're going to dive deep into the flock and surveillance world with Justin Robert. Make sure that you guys don't go anywhere. Share the live link with your friends. This is Kristan T. Harris. We'll be back.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Only 4 days left. Every dollar you spend at the Alex Jones store gets you 50 entries to win a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. I mean, who doesn't need a new car these days? I can tell you, I want to purchase some things just for hopes to get that car. That's a great deal, man. Imagine if you guys went out there today, and by the way, it goes till midnight on Friday, and pick up some of the things at the AlexJonesStore.com, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call. Oh, you won yourself a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. How cool is that? This is the time to stock up on supplements, grab the new gear, and massively increase your chances to win. Anything you buy gets you entered. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com. The deal ends this Friday, July 24th at midnight. But wait, there's more. You get a free mystery shirt. Every order over $29.99 gets you a free mystery shirt while supplies last. So not only when you purchase items on the AlexJonesStore.com, do you get a raffle? You get put into the raffle of 50 entries to win. You get a free t-shirt. By the way, the new summer apparel is here. New summer apparel for the first time ever. We're introducing Hatteras Outdoor Performance button-up shirts. They're stylish, lightweight, quick drying, and featuring a genuine embroidered 13-star Betsy Ross flag. And I'm excited about this one, guys. The brand new 1776 heavyweight shorts, premium heavyweight fleece, vintage black deep pockets, and our iconic embroidered 13-star design. These are built to last and only get better with wear. We've also got a brand new patriotic hat and limited edition summer tees that you're going to love to match. You can get all the matching gear. Get that America 76 t-shirts. They have some Flock t-shirts as well. I'm going to tell you, I was eyeing down some of those Flock t-shirts. I think that's something I might be interested in as soon as I get off this broadcast, pick some of those up. Summer won't last forever, and neither will these designs. It gets cold quick. I can tell you, living in Wisconsin, it will be cold soon. Get the Don't Spy on Me shirt. Pick up the America 76 shirt. Pick up some of those, you know, cloak and swagger style shorts and t-shirts and support this broadcast. We're fueled by you guys. You guys, the listeners. There's a lot of broadcasts out there. There's a lot of podcasts to choose from. Alex Jones may have been ground zero, the very first broadcast of this sort of type to support this broadcast, to be part of this family, keep the broadcast growing and blowing up. Make sure you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But there's also some great supplements if you're into the health world, which is something I'm interested in. We're introducing the very new Ultimate Turmeric Tincture, one of the most advanced liquid turmeric formulas. The best absorbing liquid tincture is formulated with premium turmeric root, standardized to 95% curcuminoids, and the most powerful, extensively studied active compounds found in turmeric. We've combined it with ginger root, black pepper extract, and to help to dramatically increase absorption so your body can make the most of every serving. And that's the important part, that you get the black pepper in there with the ginger root that really helps you expedite and get the most out of the turmeric. Unlike ordinary turmeric supplements, the premium liquid formula is designed for superior absorption and maximum bioavailability. No fillers, no junk, just real ingredients that work together. With 60 full servings per bottle, Ultimate Turmeric Tincture is formulated to support healthy joints, mobility, oxidant defenses, digestive health, and your body's healthy inflammatory response as part of the healthy lifestyle. And right now, when you subscribe, you'll get an incredible 50% off. Don't forget, you're also going to get the entries and to win a brand new 2026 Ram 2500 Laramie. You get the free t-shirt if you spend more than $30. Check out thealexjonesstore.com right now and pick that up and support this broadcast. We can't do it without you. It's you guys that keep us going.
Not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kriston T. Harris, filling in for the Honorable Harrison Smith. You can find out more about me right at therundownlive.com. You can go to rumble.com/therundownlive. twitter.com/KristonTHarris for viral videos and news. And if, you know, throughout this program, you've enjoyed what I've done, you can go ahead and send me an email at showtips@therundownlive. Maybe you're an MK Ultra survivor. Maybe you are a biofeedback program or gate program survivor. I'm working on a documentary. So if you're out there and you want to tell your story and you got some evidence that you were actually part of these programs, you can reach me at showtips@therundownlive.com. I want to go ahead, and before we bring on our next guest, I want to play this next clip. This is clip 6. This is Justin Roberts. This is what people need to do more of. Check this out.
We can't just depend on the state and the feds to take care of this issue for us. You've got to get out there, educate your city council members, and encourage them to do the right thing and protect their local community. Don't depend on state and federal governments to get this done for you. That is not what's going to get it done. What's going to get it done is real people going into their local communities and raising awareness and making noise. That's what it's going to take, and that's what we're here to do tonight. I come here all the way today to bring awareness to an issue of weather modification, also known as geoengineering, which I'm sure some of you have heard of by now. This is something that affects all of us as it consists of the air we breathe. These programs consist of spraying tons of patented aerosol pollutants into our skies without public consent. This includes aluminum, barium, strontium, and more. And while there are plenty of people that say these programs have been going on for decades, and they do have some decent receipts, I don't even really think you need to take it there. You can simply point to these article headlines that I've brought here today. And they start with, "Is it time to consider dimming the sun? Harvard's solar geoengineering research program." Forbes article, "Bill Gates' venture aims to spray dust into the atmosphere to block the sun." Fox News, "The Biden admin was considering blocking the sun to prevent climate change." CBS News, "Controversial spraying method aims to curb global warming." And last but not least, a CIA director, former, said, "A personal program that has gained my attention is one of stratospheric aerosol injections, which is a fancy term for the chemtrail word. You can no longer call something a conspiracy theory, I don't believe, when Harvard, Bill Gates, the White House admin, former, and a CIA director are all calling for these programs to start."
Justin Roberts, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us today. And you're here to talk to us about putting together activism to fight these flock cameras, amongst many other things. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I mean, they're now talking about the new flock cameras, and then a lot of these new cameras that they're replacing flock cameras with can, what does it say here? Will soon track your phones, wearables, your infotainment, and even your pets. Holy cow. So, like, just think about that. All your, like, wearables. So what does your wearables, your Apple iPhone, your Apple Watch and your Samsung Galaxy Watch, what do those all record? They record, like, your steps, your health, you know, your blood pressure in some cases, your heart rate. Why does the government need all this data? What's going on here? Break this down for us a little bit. What's going on with the flock camera situation?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. It's really just another way for them to implement the surveillance grid little by little. I mean, we are the boiling frog, right? From 9/11 to COVID to the flock cameras, they are selling us our final stage of enslavement as convenience and technological advancement. And, you know, while they say it's for catching criminals, you know, it's the same narrative they use with, you know, catching terrorists or keeping us safe from a virus. We're still going to have crime, and we're not going to have any rights left. We're not going to have any privacy. You know, we get into a point where they're putting these cameras pointing at parks and playgrounds and over people's fences. I just don't want to live in a world where I'm monitored 24/7, and then you have to open that can of worms of what they're doing with that information and how they're going to be using it against us. So it's really just something that we have to stand up and fight back as much as possible, just like we have in Florida against some of the medical freedom issues. We need to rein in these data centers and these flock cameras and 5G towers the same way.
Well, it seems like whenever we pull down the flock cameras, they're replacing them with something worse. And not only that, these flock cameras aren't just they're just not pointed at your local travel routes. They're pointed, like, in here in Wisconsin and Oak Creek. I walked around and I filmed a lot of these, and I'm like, why are these at the Meijer shopping mall? Why are these at Woodman's? Why are these, pointing towards the local schools? There's one instance where they were actually spying on middle schoolers, like playing sports in the gym. Why do you need a flock camera there? What's the purpose of these flock cameras? What do you think the end game here is? And what is the complete potential of the cameras that they're putting up there?
Well, I think the end game is to track and trace and vaccinate, if possible, all of us. And if they couldn't do it with the boogeyman virus, they are now doing it with the flock cameras. You can, if they're scanning, it's sort of like the 5G smart city agenda, where remember when that was starting, they were calling it the Internet of Things. And they said every device is going to have a little chip or a little code on it that is pinging to these towers, to these cameras. So you're going to be driving by, and most likely these things are going to be reading your face, reading your phone, you know, cataloging all of your last movements and throwing it into a database. And then who knows, maybe a human, maybe AI is going to then decide if you get a knock at your door. And we've already seen how many people have been wrongly accused and how easily this can be used for abuse. I just read an article. I didn't get to verify it yet, but it said some flock employee had logged into one camera in the whole system, and it was the one looking into a gymnasium or a kid's, some kid area. It was really strange. So there's tons of risks. And like you said, the end game is to have us where we can't go anywhere without being surveilled. And that will be used against us. Think of Canadian truckers protesting during COVID, shutting off their bank accounts. You know, maybe you criticize a country that we're not allowed to criticize and they shut off your bank account. You know, I once gave a speech in a city council meeting and I said, we're inching closer and closer to this world where I'm not going to be able to go to work in the morning because my smart home and my smart car won't start because of a controversial post I made on social media the night before. And that's a scary world to live in, and I don't want to turn that world over to our children.
Well, it's already starting. I saw an article, I think it's Virginia. They want to put speed limit limiters into vehicles so you can't speed. So if you're a habitual speeder and you get speeding tickets, they're going to put a little chip in the car and it's going to prevent you from going over the speed limit no matter where you're at, because the GPS will be programmed that the max speed limit there is 35 miles per hour or it's 55 miles per hour. So your last damn freedom to go wherever you want at whatever speed you want will be taken away. What happens if you have a wife that's pregnant and you need to go to the hospital real quick? Well, you're going to have to call an ambulance or an Uber, right? At the end of the day, they're taking away your ability and they're slowly tying it in. What I'm seeing here is the foundation for a central banking digital currency, incestuously involved with your social credit score. And they're going to be able to see who you hang out with, when you hang out with them, who's in your car, how often you hang out with them, and that'll make for some good blackmail material. Considering, I think back about 30 years ago, a lawyer wrote a book that the average American commits 3 felonies a day because there's so many darn laws on the books that they don't even know when they're violating the laws. So the government then can randomly enforce those laws and then put you in jail if they don't like you. Maybe you're an activist that speaks out against these data centers. Maybe you're an activist that's speaking against these flock cameras. And a lot of people are turning to violent extremism against these flock cameras. And I'm not even saying it's that violent. They're not like destroying the cameras. They're just cutting down all the poles that they're on, and they're putting bags over them, you know, because if you put a bag over a flock camera, they're going to have to pay somebody to come out to take the bag off the camera, you know, at the end of the day. And so what are some of the things you're seeing? Because I've seen a lot of like activism around this. But to your point, I've seen numerous law enforcement officers getting terminated for misuse of flock cameras. Right. And to me that, like, here in Wisconsin, there's at least 2 recently that have been let go, and people are still defending them. They're like, you know, we need them. These are the same people that are like, oh yeah, they'll never put cameras on the street corners. And, you know, back in the day, 20 years ago, when I was doing conspiracy talk radio, I was like, they're going to put cameras on the street corner and you're going to love it. You're going to beg for it. Well, guess what? They're like, yeah, we need those things now. You silly tinfoil hatter. I'm like, well, it was tinfoil hat when I said they're going to put the camera there in the first place. Now it's there. And all of a sudden you're going to defend the right to have it there, and you're going to want to keep it there. That seems just weird to me, that people have been so programmed and mind controlled that they're okay. And it's always under the guise for your safety. It's always that you need to be kept safe. What was it during COVID? Justin. It was safety. What was it for the, you know, Patriot Act? It was safety, 9/11. What was it for, you know, tackling a grandma at the beach? It's your safety. You know, you got to have your mask on. It's for your safety. And these cops who abuse flock cameras, that makes me wonder if they admitted to having Stingray and Hailstorm technology. You know, the ones that hack into your cell phone that can listen into your cell phone conversations. They call them cell phone site simulators. You know, how many of those cops abuse that and listen into their girlfriends and conversations with other dudes, or check out their texts or their boyfriends for that matter? Because, you know, there's cops of both genders. But at the end of the day, we'll never know, because they don't have technology that would violate the Fourth Amendment, because cops are there to protect the Constitution, I thought.
Exactly. You know, and it just goes back that, you know, we've got solutions. You know, don't get me wrong. People that are taking them down, listen, you push people to a point. That's why you have riots. That's why you have people rising up and taking extreme measures when they're not listened to. The good news is we're seeing places reject and cancel these contracts. And in the same way we fought against medical freedom, I'm encouraging people to go to your city council, send those emails. Sometimes it only takes a small group of people to wake up a couple city council members. You only typically have five. You just got to convince three that this is doing more harm than good, and you can get rid of these things. It is tough, but we've got to. Public pressure can do just about anything. We learned that with the fluoride movement in Florida during the COVID fight. But speaking of COVID, just imagine if they had this during COVID. I mean, I used to show up to protests before AI and before the flock cameras, and the cops would already be there. They'd go, "Oh, you must be Justin." And I'm like, so they're basically monitoring me through social media and public Facebook groups. But this is before. I mean, imagine this is going to be on steroids, what they're going to have and how they're going to be tracking us. I mean, I think of like Minority Report or any of these movies with these dystopian worlds where, you know, hey, maybe you got stopped by the robot police because the way you were limping and the facial expression, the AI camera, the flock camera was mistaking that for aggression. So they send the police over and, oh, now someone's accidentally been shot. I can just imagine where this could go. You know, we've got enough issues with humans and our human error with police and in enforcing things. I just imagine what it's going to have with government controlled AI systems.
Well, you know, they're rolling it out in the baseball stadiums. You know, now they want to put the bow on it. They want to be, oh, look, we use AI in the baseball stadium. It makes sure it gets the strikes and balls right at the end of the day. Yeah. And now we're seeing, in at least a half a dozen cases, AI has wrongfully identified people leading to their arrest. The AI says this person should be arrested. The cop doesn't question it. And he just says, oh, the AI said, you know, this guy should be arrested. He was a potential suspect, and it completely gets them wrong, and it gets the metadata wrong, and now people are being sued, or the government's being sued, and you know, they don't care because we pay that, right? We're going to sue the government, and then we're going to pay for our old lawsuit to be paid out, so.
Yeah, guilty until proven innocent is what it's going to turn into. That's what I've seen with the cases that have gone viral. It's these people have spending weeks trying to prove their innocence to this system that has wrongly accused them. So it's really bad news. We're actually going to have a protest and city council meeting here in Altamont Springs, Florida in August. So if anybody's in the Central Florida, Seminole County area, please reach out to me, because we need to really use the momentum that we have on this. You know, we've knocked out 16 communities in Florida have already blocked data centers with temporary or permanent bans, and we're not slowing down. So I'm trying to just rally those same people towards the flock cameras, because it's all part of the same basket, you know?
Well, yeah. So what is a surveillance state powered by? It's powered by the data centers. And don't we have more data centers than any other country in the world? Am I remembering that right? We have like way more data centers than communist China. Like, that's what we're doing is we're developing this world. And by the way, if you're a listener out there and you're not knowledgeable on the term called fully automated luxury communism, that is something you need to understand, because whenever I talk to transhumanists, whenever I talk to, you know, technocratic elites, and I do get a chance to talk to some of these people that sit on the World Economic Forum from time to time when I'm out and about covering things, they're all in on this idea of fully automated luxury communism. And essentially what it is you're going to live in your 15-minute city, and you're going to have robots do everything for you, wipe your ass, do your laundry, tuck you in, read your kids' books at night. And of course, in order to have the robot society, we need the Wi-Fi, you know, 6G network along with the data centers to communicate with the robots that are going to do all this work for you. And, you know, they're going to paint it as, you know, nobody cares about grandma and grandpa, but here we have this lifelike look-alike robot that looks like a real life human being, and it's going to treat you good. I didn't even get into that story. There's a whole story out there right now, Justin, about how they're replacing nurses with like offshore nurses. You want to go and talk to a nurse? You might get a nurse in the Philippines now. You might get a, you know, AI nurse, digital nurse. We're not even getting real people, and they need the infrastructure to replace humans in the workforce. And they're saying, oh, don't worry, there'll be more jobs. But when I talk to people like Zoltan Istvan, they're all about making as much money they can right now, because they said in the near future, you won't be able to make money like you make it now.
Yep. And we've even got something they're rolling out in Florida that's got some sort of AI camera that spins around on the top of the garbage truck, and it's scanning all the homes as it's picking up garbage, and it's looking for unpermitted roofs and unpermitted sheds, and basically going to be penalizing people for things that it's picking up. Is it going to be correct? You know, just imagine the mess that that's going to cause. It's tough. And yeah, you're right. We do have tons of data centers. We even have hundreds in Florida. And I like to clarify this, because people say, oh, what's the big scare? You know, we've already got data centers in Florida. What's the big deal? We have zero large scale or hyperscale data centers. So we're not talking about these office building data centers that are there to just house something for your local school or some business. We're talking about a 15 million square foot, 2,000 acre facility. It's like a mini city, or larger than a college campus. We don't want those in Florida. You know, I'm not against technology or business or trying to ban an entire industry, but we are trying to ban something that's going to destroy 2,000 acres of wild Florida, bring in no jobs, produce that 24/7 low frequency humming sound that's going to give every resident and animal nearby tinnitus. This is not something we want in Florida, and it's going to be, it's involved with the spying and the Agenda 2030, you know, takeover. So whether what it's for or not, we don't want these or need these facilities in Florida. So that's what we're trying to focus on, is the really massive ones.
Well, not only that, they use a lot of water. And as we've talked about just in the prior segment with Steve Polkinen, is that the fact that they can make these environmentally friendly, like they can make them so they don't use your water and like heat up the ground, amongst other things. But you know, Google and Microsoft, they don't want to shell out the extra money. So they're saying there's no other way to make these than to use your water. And we need to bring alternative versions of this. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be enslaved to robot culture where the robot cop is going to pull me over. They already got the cops out there that are robots. There's an article 10 years ago, the robot's at the door. I remember, I think it was in Texas, a robot killed somebody, if I remember right. Like, the robots are here. And not only that, I don't know if you heard, they now have invisible drones. Invisible drones.
Wow.
Yeah, no. You know, we need invisible drones, right, to surveil everything. Because cops are now getting invisible drones in the future. I'm telling you, they're getting drones because they need drones to fight the pirate drone army, because you got these violent actors that are going to use drones for bad, you know, whether it's breaking in someplace. But you're already seeing people being followed by drones and then arrested because the drone was able to be the first responder. And we were told that cops would never get drones, and now they're going to weaponize the drones. It won't be long till you're seeing tear gas and pepper spray balls and everything else on these things. So what's the solution here with the data centers and with the flock cameras? Which way do you see this going? Because whenever we rise up and get these things taken down, they're now talking about putting something even more invasive, something with 360 degree tracking. I mean, it's crazy to me that they need to know what all your wearables are saying. What kind, like what does that mean? Like, what do our wearables tell the government?
Well, pretty much everything about all the data you're keeping in it, your movements, your heart rate. I mean, it's wild, because we never thought we'd have the drones, but we've got police forces in Florida rolling them out for your safety, just like always. We saw it in China during COVID. And what's really funny is we've always like pointed to China as like that crazy society that's got all the cameras and all the tracking, and it was always this thing that we could never let happen in America. Now it's almost like we're begging for it. So they really have done that like solid justification again to just brainwash the people into accepting the new stage of enslavement. The solution is to get off your butt and start sending some emails to your local city or county commissioners. Tell them, cancel the flock contract, pass a moratorium or a ban on data centers. When you pass the moratorium, during that year pause, you go back in and have them change the code to make it impossible to build one in your community. You're hearing from someone that used a very small army to influence county and city commissioners to remove fluoride and to ban vaccine mandates. It can be done. And when the whole country is focusing on something right now, you've got to seize that short window of opportunity. And you point to your other communities, point to Florida, point to New York or California where they're canceling the contract. Say, hey, look, these cities did it. Here's where the misuse is very ripe and where we're accusing all these people wrongly. Point to all the problems, point to the privacy concerns, and get them to take it out of your city. Now, I can't speak for what they're going to do next, but we've just got to take one battle each day at a time. If we stop the mega data centers, then we'll go after the flock cameras next, and then we'll, you know, whatever the next thing is, the AI camera on the garbage truck. But we do still have power locally, and I just want people to remember that. And if you need help or guidance, pointers on the emails or how to pressure your city council, please do reach out to me. We can help.
Well, not only that, do you think your local councilman would like a flock camera put right outside their home?
No,
it's for their safety.
That's the key, is once I think you point out enough glaring examples like that, the light bulb will go off and they'll say, you know what? These people have a point. In my experience, most of them are just going along to get along. They didn't put the flock cameras in to control us. They were told it was for safety and some company was going to pay for it. It's like a no-brainer to them. But we've got to show them why it's such a problem.
Yeah, it's wild to think about that the government and these fusion centers will have access to your travel. They want to track your pets now. Why do they need to, track Biscuit, your local cat or your dog or whatever animal you bring out in public? Maybe to identify you as in, hey, this person has an animal in their house. We can't no knock rate them. I'm not quite sure, but it's quite interesting to see how the surveillance state is trying to get all your data, all your metadata. Now they know why you're at the pet store, you know. Maybe you go to Home Depot or Menards and you pick up some aquaponics to grow some things. That, you know, it's not as bad as lettuce, by the way, as it turns out. You know, the new devil's lettuce is iceberg lettuce, from what I hear. So,
maybe the new protest is everybody go out and trade cars with a friend or a neighbor, drive it around, go to a random store, maybe that will be the new thing to throw off the system and just confuse it and it'll crash or something.
That's all right. We're heading to commercial break. Justin Roberts is our guest. When we come back, we're going to dive a little bit into weather modification, amongst other things that are going on, the health free food battle to get healthy food, amongst other things. Justin Roberts is our guest. We'll be back.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you, is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe
Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Watching the War Room, I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, straight out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, the cheese state where a lot goes on here daily. We got a lot going on, and geoengineering seems to be one of the things that is on the top of everyone's mind these days. Once a conspiracy, the idea of weather modification is now a reality. We're seeing people talk about it, and I found documents from the UN saying and claiming that they've been spraying since the 1990s, which what is really interesting to me is a lot of people have been in complete denial that we have the ability to control the weather, but, you know, Operation Popeye. We knew we could do it down in Vietnam. And there's other things like Welsbach stratospheric aerosol injections. Well, if you looked it up on the website, Welsbach stratospheric aerosol injections, you'll see there's a patent for it. And that's what is directly named in UN documents by Egyptian scientists, amongst other things, claiming for 10 years that they were dropping, I think they were saying, millions of tons of aluminum oxide and other nanoparticles into our atmosphere. And the issue has been that the EPA no longer checks for anything below 1 nanometer particle size. And these are all at a half a nanometer or less, and they're accumulative. So to break this down for us, Justin Robert from Florida is joining us today. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's been at the forefront of the geoengineering battle for a while. He's gone to, you know, the local councils to talk about it. So for the listeners out there that are new to the idea of geoengineering, and the slang term amongst us kids is chemtrails. And, you know, there's a lot of wild conspiracies, but when we break it down, the basic and the most genuine form is that's weather modification. They're not trying to alter the atmosphere so the lizard people can come and take over the planet like a lot of extremists out there have claimed. But there's some very interesting things dealing with aluminum oxide and nanoparticles, such as building neural net networks using aluminum oxide to have non-invasive computer-to-brain interfaces, which is something that I think would blow people's minds if we got into. But let's start out with the very basic. What is geoengineering? What is weather modification? And what are you finding in your research about it?
Yeah, so it's essentially, you know, like I described in that speech, it's patented aerosols being sprayed into our skies without informed consent. And, you know, like you said, many people have found evidence of them doing this for decades, dating back. You can go onto the University of Florida website and find them messing with hurricanes many, many decades ago. We've heard the phrase, you know, owning the weather by 2025. These were all real things, but it's always been a very difficult topic to address and go after. You know, we can see the genetically modified crop. We can see the vaccine syringe. We can see the water that's got the fluoride in it. But it's really hard to show someone like the chemtrail, and they just say, oh, well, that's just, you know, plain exhaust. So that's just, it's always explained away. And how do you address something that people don't claim is real? You know, we can debate whether or not the safety and effectiveness of the other products that are poisoning us, but they don't claim this one exists. So it's always very difficult to address who's actually doing it. Is it your state? Is it the federal? Is it contractors sworn to secrecy? Maybe all of the above. But thankfully, in this post-COVID world where everyone realized that we're being lied to about all these topics, the conspiracy theorists were right about most things, the Jeffrey Epstein files, all of these things have made people go, wait a minute, let me rethink that moon landing, let me rethink the chemtrail conspiracy. And people are going, okay, if they're eating kids, like, I got to look at this stuff. So it's been a blessing. Sean Hibbler, great filmmaker, did Climate Trails, which is where I gave that speech. And we got that film on Amazon. We got really lucky. I don't know how it snuck through, but we submitted it and they accepted it. A lot of people thought, you know, oh, it's an Amazon film. This is definitely, you know, propaganda. But it was purely, you know, grassroots people, a chemtrail whistleblower. I was in the film to encourage people to speak up locally about the issue. But we've got some real momentum now. We've got 30 plus states that have proposed legislation to ban geoengineering. And we banned it in Florida. Unfortunately, it didn't actually stop. The fluoride stopped, but the geoengineering continues. As I've always said, a state bill can't stop a federal program, especially ones they claim that are not happening. So there's still more work to be done. I think we need to confront the pilots at the airports. We need to peacefully protest and shut them down, show up out front, find out where they're taking off and landing from. That's something that's very difficult to do. So if people can do that, and you can create that content, we can build some more momentum around this issue and get DARPA or the DOD, NASA, whoever is engaging in this activity, shine a light on them and actually get it stopped. Because state bills are great for awareness, but they're not going to stop the programs completely.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I got a great story to add on here about 2 years ago, I was doing a little side work, doing some ride sharing to afford a vacation I was going on. And I picked up a guy and I asked him, well, you know, I was making small talk. What is it that you do? And he's like, oh, I work for a company that sprays aerosol injections. And I asked him, I mean, I'm like, is that like geoengineering, like Welsbach stratospheric aerosol injections? And he looked at me and he's like, yeah. He said, my father owns a company and we have contracts with the military and we spray. And he's like, we have our own journalists. All they do is write stories talking about the benefits of weather modification and geoengineering. And I explained to him, well, what, so the, you know, aluminum, barium, you know, silver iodine, or oxide, excuse me, oxide, and all these different things that you're spraying in the air, huh? And I try to get a little information out of him. But he's like, yeah, no, that's a real company. That's what we do. He's like, I'm surprised because most people don't know that it exists and they don't believe that it right. exists. And I think he was in one of the Dakotas. I can't remember if it was North or South Dakota. But he wanted my card. He's like, oh, we're always looking for journalists to write stories for us. How about you give me your card? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe they would have looked me up. But it's a real thing. It's a government implanted thing. And I think it, since it's a military, maybe DARPA is involved. There's not much we can do about it. But I can tell you that it's impacting our environment. What kind of impact does aluminum oxide have accumulatively? Well, they're saying the bumblebees are having problems finding the hives. Well, why? Maybe it's the aluminum oxide. They're saying that all our food has less nutrition. It's not nutrition dense. Well, what does aluminum do to plants? Well, it prevents them from re-upping all their nutrients. So all our food is lacking nutrients. So what happens? We eat more. We get fatter. Then we eat some of those Monsanto glyphosate slop. We eat the Doritos slop. You eat your sloppy McDonald's hamburger, which we don't even know if it's real meat, if it's just real soy burger. By the way, I tried to get a McDonald's quarter pounder tested at my local DNA lab, and I wanted to find out what the ingredients were, what was it made of, and I also wanted to, you know, to be checked for human, because I wanted to debunk all those conspiracies, and they were completely okay with me doing it until I told them it was from McDonald's, and then they refused to do the check. I couldn't find a single place. I got recommended to the University of Madison. They were down. I got recommended to a DNA lab where the cops go. They were down. I had people completely willing to fund it, but nobody will take it to tell me what the hell's inside of the sloppy McDonald's slop burger there, that quarter pounder of soy that you're eating. You know, the Jabba the Hutt, just open my mouth and shove it down my throat. It's not even probably real meat, you know, at the end of the day. They won't test it, you know, but that's what's getting into it, is this aluminum oxide. If they are spraying the way they claim that they're spraying, and it's accumulative, so it's getting in large amounts. So, you know, bringing awareness to this at council meetings and getting laws passed doesn't seem to help. And you have a Robert F. Kennedy that's out there that's been trying to shed some light on it. Have you heard anything about that front, the Robert F. Kennedy front?
Yeah, and I mean, just like most things that I think RFK was doing were just halted by Trump's handlers or Susie Wiles or whoever's back there. I mean, it was like he came out swinging in the first 6 to 9 months and was really going to shake some things up with food and fluoride and the vaccines. And then it just, it's like they neutered him. And as we've all seen Trump sort of like nuke his own MAGA promises and base, it's like he's taken MAHA down with it, which is really unfortunate. I never have too much faith in the left, right, you know, Trump, Biden, or any of these guys. But to see RFK doing the things I was doing on the ground, grassroots level, and he had a position of power and he had been doing the same things we were. So I had a lot of hope there. But he was going to open a task force into geoengineering. He was going to look into it. He even tweeted, "We need to stop this crime." I mean, we went from no one publicly acknowledging that they existed, geoengineering programs, to our HHS secretary saying, "We must stop this." 30 states passing bills. So it hasn't been enough. We've got to keep pressing. I will tell people, don't get discouraged by, oh, it's a federal thing, I can't do anything in my county or my city commission. Look at what I've done. I've brought federal issues. I brought NASA discrepancies to a county meeting. I got 100 million views. The video went viral. I got a lawsuit because I was kicked out of the meeting. The topic went super viral, and we basically opened Pandora's box on that topic. But what were people telling me? Oh, you can't go in there and talk about a federal topic. Well, I did. And we stirred the hornet's nest and got a lot of attention. So anywhere you can use a platform, whether it's on the street corner in your city council meeting, be as loud as you can. Post it on the internet. If it goes viral and you get copycats, you've now broken this wide open. You didn't need a federal official to open an investigation, right? So don't ever underestimate the power of one sign, one conversation, one speech, one post. Just keep pressing. We've got to full court press these people, because as Bob Marley or whoever said it, the evil people in this world never take a day off, so we can't either.
Yeah, if you're an influencer out there and you're not making reels, you're missing out on a lot of traction, because it used to be memes. Yeah. Now it's reels. Everything is reels. Everything is TikTok. Everything is, making original content that lasts under 90 seconds. People are checking it out. And if it's going viral, guess what people are doing? They're making, like you mentioned, copycat videos of it, because they want the clicks and the views, because that's the currency. It's attention in this narcissistic world that people want most. They want to get that plus sign. They want that dope. A mean kick. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. And you're going to get people out there. If you're an influencer and you're starting a new, you know, podcast, whatever it is, learn how to make reels effectively. Learn how to make the cool top bottom reels and, post them on Instagram, post them on Facebook, get on TikTok, because that's the way the youth learns these days. I just had a video that went super viral on TikTok. You know, I think it's got, couple hundred thousand views. I'll call that super viral. But, you know, you pick up followers real quick. You know, people are commenting. They're conversating. That's the new platform. There's always a new platform. But right now, that's the hot platform to use. It's the, you know, social media in general, you got to learn how to use what's the latest tool to use to get the word out there. And, of course, old-fashioned way works, too. But when we start looking at these things, we got to bring education. We need to educate people that these things are really going on. By the way, I remember back in, was it Hurricane Katrina? There was conspiracies that they could control hurricanes, and everyone's like, oh, that's tinfoil hat. That could never happen. Well, guess what's in the news now, Justin? They can control hurricanes. And I used to talk to my buddy, and I'm going to call him Jimmy. Jimmy works in the military. He now works for the Department of Defense, and he once was a Marine, and he told me that they have stadiums full of just weather modification, that they've been able to do things like make it rain. In fact, he said the first time they did weather modification in the United States, they flooded the Great Plains while making it rain for 40 days to mimic the Bible. And then he went on to tell me that they have a giant dome where they practice creating tornadoes and hurricanes and steering weather. And it was really interesting to me. And so I started looking it up, and here it is in the news now. The government is going to go ahead and they're going to steer hurricanes. See, they probably could have done it all along. Makes you wonder about some of these timely hurricanes during elections.
It also really upsets you when you think of things like Lahaina, Hawaii, wildfires. They've had the ability to basically stop a hurricane or put out fires. And instead, all we do is create fires and create hurricanes, create earthquakes. I mean, it's just really evil stuff. And, you know, we've always wondered, what exactly are they doing if you see that much spraying? Are they really experimenting every single day? Are they really toying with our daily weather? I really don't know. So you've got to wonder how many different agendas are baked into this spraying program. Like, we've all heard about the smart dust and, you know, lining us with this material so that we are conductive to the towers. I don't know. Maybe it's got something to do with the mRNA shot and when that's activated. There's so many rabbit holes and angles you can go down with this. And it's really hard to know which one is true and how to stop it. But we've just got to keep making noise on this because, hey, even though it's tough, we're light years ahead of where we were on the geoengineering topic as far as public awareness. And, you know, just to point out, when people are like, oh, what do you mean you want to go viral on these topics? Is this just about views and clicks? No, because when we do go viral and we bring a taboo, true conspiracy to the mainstream, to the forefront, then we've won the information war. Then those people and their children don't believe the lies going forward. So we've won. So it's not about clicks and views for us. Let's use their spying tools against them. Go viral for the right reasons, to wake up humanity and make the world a better place.
You know what I think about, Justin? I think about how we have these forest fires, and we could geoengineer some rainfall to try to put out some of these forest falls. Fires, excuse me.
I know.
Like, why aren't we doing that? Like, why aren't we using it to, you know, help farms grow in areas where there's, you know, a desert or an area where plants can't grow? If you care about the environment and you're worried about carbon emissions, you want carbon turned to oxygen, you could plant some trees in the desert and geoengineer some rain. But you want to know what I really think it is? They have this huge aspect of things no one really talks about, and it's called the futures market. You know, where they gamble on the future. They gamble on the future, and weather impacts a lot of those markets. So if you can control the weather through geoengineering, you can make a lot of money in the future trends market. So maybe that's really why they don't want to bring it to the public's viewpoint, is you got a whole bunch of people, just like pre-9/11 with the hedge funds against the airliners, that the people that made money off of that. You got people probably betting on the weather and making a ton of cash because they also are geoengineering, maybe spraying, causing droughts in organic crops, so people are forced to buy their GMO slop, you know, at the end of the day. There's so many weird things that are going on in the world, Justin. We didn't even get into ticks, you know, these weird bioengineered ticks that are causing people to be allergic to red meat. You know, that's just crazy to me. And they're just boxes of them appearing all over the place. You know, and everyone's like, oh, that's normal. No one's going to say anything. Nobody knows where they're coming from. And yet we got invisible drones. That's weird. Are you guys getting drones by you in Florida? I remember I was just in Miami. I was hanging out with, Tatiana Moroz, plug out there to the Bitcoin princess, we'll call her, Tatiana Moroz. And there was drones delivering pizza. They have all these robots. They got wheels and they got smiley faces on them. And they're like, hey, we're here to stay. We're friendly. We're your friendly pizza delivery drone. We're your friendly, you know, noodles and company drone. And we're going to give you your street tacos good. But, you know, now they have the big drones.
Yeah, we've seen them roll them out. Miami's a little more primed for stuff like that. They tend to get those fancy things before Orlando, where I'm based. But I've seen it. Last time I visited Miami, I saw one of those little robot things delivering food. But we've got police forces here in Florida that are using the drones now. So who knows, before too long, you know, the drone is what shows up to your house and tells you to come outside with your hands up. I don't know. But, yeah, they're continuing it little by little. And that's why we've I'm fully confident, though, once people understand, like, the deception and the agenda, that they fight back. We've just got to show people that it's not just isolated incidents. This isn't just, oh, there's some crime over here. This is a new mechanism to do it. It's all connected and it's all much deeper. And once you lift that veil for people, then they get upset and they want to fight back. That's at least how I felt. Once you find out it's kind of purposeful, you're not just like, oh, this is just the way it is. No, this is done on purpose, and we can stop it if it's being done intentionally.
Well, it's being done intentionally, absolutely. And I know that drones are being mounted with dirt boxes that suck up all your cell phone conversations and your texts. You don't believe me? They actually have an article from 10 years ago talking about a drone with a dirt box flying over Disney World, and it sucked up everyone's data that was at Disney World. Why they needed that data, I don't know, but they were spying on people at Disney World. You can look up the article. It's out there. And I can tell you, if they have drones everywhere, they're going to monitor cell phone conversations at all time. They're going to not be able to use it in court, but when they pull you over for low air in your back tire and you just picked up a doobie and it's illegal in your state, well, you know, too bad. You're going to go to jail unless you go to trial and you try to force them to tell you how they got the data. And by the way, thousands of trials have been dropped because cops don't want to admit that they use Stingray and Hailstorm technology, which is a violation of our Fourth Amendment. We need some people who are constitutionally driven. It's funny, they all take an oath to protect the Constitution, but here they are, they're destroying the Constitution. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, we need to speak up. We need to talk about these Stingray phone trackers. People want to say flock cameras are bad, but let's really talk about the real core issues. It's the government's 1033 program, where the military is just giving them all these toys because cops would love to feel like they're part of the military, and they like to feel cool in their G.I. Joe outfits because it keeps them safe. And I'm all about cops being safe, but I'm not for cops, you know, violating my liberties and freedoms. And a lot of times we're finding out now that cops are using this to spy on their spouses and their boyfriends and their girlfriends and everything else, and they're violating it. They're listening into your text. Why do they need that kind of data without a warrant to search for it? It should require a warrant for them to gather any of that data if we have the technology, and they're just bypassing it. Screw the Constitution, which I'm hired to protect. We're going to go ahead and just stingray it. We're going to, you know, there was a story out there not too long ago. They spied on, like, I think, was it 50,000 American cell phone data was compromised because they were trying to find a $60 chicken wing thief. That's a real story. That's the kind of stuff we deal with. Law enforcement, I don't know what the deal is with their IQ, but I think most of them have below a 110 IQ. In fact, I think that's, they don't hire you if you have a high IQ, because then you don't follow orders. And that's what we get. We get some cop that gets bitched at by his wife all day. He pulls you over, he's shaking. I had that happen in Elm Grove, a white neighborhood, very rich, and the cop had his hand on his gun. I'm like, why do you have your hand on your gun? I was going five over. He goes, well, I don't know who you are. I'm like, you need to get a new job if you're that worried that you know, that you need to have your hand on the gun. I don't know what's wrong with police these days, but they're not the cops of the 1990s where they're handing out baseball cards.
And you know what part of the problem is in so many different industries, you get the people with the backbone are rooted out. Think about all the doctors who stood up.
They retire. They're like out.
Right. The police are pushed out or they retire or they quit. You have, look at Joe Kent. I mean, the people who leave the government, we got Marjorie Taylor Greene, the people who actually stand up and do something are always pushed out. And then we're unfortunately left with a bunch of doctors and nurses and police officers and military people that are just like, oh, well, I just got to do this for a paycheck. Well, this must be for the greater good. And that's the absolute worst mentality. We need the people in those industries to be able to stand up for what's right and understand liberty, our First and Second and Fourth Amendment, all these things. And, you know, hopefully there's still more in there that are undercover sort of and keeping it in check.
Well, right. I don't think every cop is bad either. I just wanted to hammer it home so you understand there's a problem. There is a problem, and I know I've had a target on my back for a long time being a former writer for CopLock and covering over 250 protests and all this stuff, but like, at the same time, we need to bring awareness and reignite the flame of that law enforcement has silently started encroaching on our constitutional rights, and it's right now where they're going to be the thugs, you know, eminent domain. They're going to come take your stuff. They're going to, you know, sell it. They're going to do all those things before you're even proven guilty. Thanks for joining us, Justin Robert. Let our listeners know where they can find out more about you. How can they organize in case they have questions on how to start their own local anti-flock, groups, and they need instructions on how they can be effective, because you've been really effective in Orlando there.
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me on social media. That's where I'm most active. Justin_WeAreChange on Instagram and X. And you can find me on Facebook, Justin Robert. You can also find We Are Change Orlando on Rumble and YouTube, where I catalog all of my work over the last 10 or 15 years. So find me on one of those. I'm pretty responsive, and I will help you, and hopefully we can rally some troops in your area to fight back against our health freedom attacks and the surveillance grid.
Justin Robert, thank you for joining us. You guys are listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris. You can find out more about me, therundownlive.com. You can find me at rumble.com/therundownlive. Kristan T. Harris on X. You can find me in the great catalog of Alex Jones Network. There's plenty of Kristan T. Harris all around. My fingerprints are all over the great InfoWars empire. You do good work. You get aggregated. You reach more people. Thank you to Katie Page, to Steve Poikinen, to Justin Robert, and all the people working behind the scenes at InfoWars, including Matt and everyone else there. And I hope Harrison Smith has a great day today as well. We'll see you guys soon. Follow me, therundownlive.com, Spotify, anywhere where podcasts are found.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexjonesshow.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc, the flower of the Renaissance, challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.